the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looked so all alone, or could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice, and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young singer, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me, and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees.
We are on the air. It's the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. I'm Tom Richards. This is Uncle Mike.
What's going on?
And we will be your party host for the next couple hours here on episode number 68. Man, 68 weeks in a row we've been here.
The big 69.
We just got back from Cleveland and Chicago and our Thanksgiving road trip out to see AIW and AAW. And everybody in both promotions were tremendous, man. We had a blast. Great time. Yeah. And we have the outlaw Mike Falcone on later. He went with us and we do 90 minutes of going over both shows in detail and all the other activities and whatnot that went down. Yeah, a really fun 90-minute conversation with Mike Falcone about the whole weekend in wrestling. He was all enjoyed that. But before that, we got, like we do every week, a special guest. This week on the show, we got a man that's been making a name for himself in the Montreal area and starting to bust out a little bit here in the U.S. We got Dirty Bucks Belmar coming up in a couple minutes, man.
Yeah.
Interesting dude to talk to. You'll enjoy that.
Yeah, he was very good.
And plus, we'll run down all the results from last weekend. Not a lot of what went on because it was Thanksgiving weekend. So most of the shows, the main ones, we already went over with Mike Falcone. You'll hear that. But we'll go over the other stuff. Plus, what's coming up this weekend, any news. And sit back, relax, get ready.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show.
Give a shout-out to Ty Dawson in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we got to see Ty Dawson at the
AIW. And Phil Colvin, I hope you are enjoying your lunch right now. I really hope you are.
And we got to hang out with Phil Colvin.
Yeah.
Always a good dude, man. And our boy Aaron Bauer.
Yeah, shout-out to Aaron Bauer.
But if this is your first time listening,
hugs and kisses.
We thank you for listening. We hope you make it a regular thing. If you're a regular listener, we love you even more, and we thanks for your support. You can find us on the web at www.indiewrestlingworld.com/Uncle Mike and Tom. That's our home where it's got all 68 episodes archived and who is the guest on each show. So you can go anytime to that website and listen to any show of your choosing. Also, we're on iTunes and Stitcher under Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. That's our other home. You can go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and you can find us there, or you can look them up on Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe and get us delivered to you every Thursday. You can also find us on Facebook under Facebook.com/The Uncle Mike and Tom Show. You can like us there, and this show, which podcast, will show up every Thursday on your timeline. Or you could just do a Google search, The Uncle Mike and Tom Show. That's one way to find us. We also upload all our shows on the archive.org. So if you want to go to www.archive.org and do a search for The Uncle Mike and Tom Show, you'll find us there.
One of Dave Prazak's favorites.
Yeah. So whatever way you choose to listen to the show, man, there's all different ways you can find it. And we're on Twitter, too, I should also add. As our Twitter handle is @MikeTomShow. Every show gets posted there every week. You can follow me on Twitter @TheTomRichards. And Pro Wrestling Powerhouse is @PWPowerhouse, I believe, all on Twitter. And that's the stuff, man. So tell your friends, tell your girlfriend, tell your wife, tell your dog, tell your family, tell your dad, tell anyone that would listen to the podcast and put in a good word, man. Spread the word. Your plants. Spread the word about good independent wrestlers and good independent wrestling. And with that, I think we'll go get Dirty Bucks Belmar on the line. And joining us up first this week on the program, a man that has been making waves in the Montreal, Quebec, Canada wrestling scene for the last so many years, and is in the main event this Sunday night in Montreal for Battle War, fighting in a four-way scramble to become the first Battle War champion. With us right now is one of the most disgusting wrestlers on the independent scene. Welcome, Dirty Bucks Belmar, to the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
Hi.
What's going on, brother?
Life's great. What about yours?
Hey, we can't complain. We're getting to sit here and talk to you, so I guess we're doing all right, man.
Well, that's good to hear.
So, yeah, Bucks Belmar, man. We're pretty excited when we were able to book you this week because we've been pretty big fans for the last few years.
Well, that's a good thing to hear.
Yeah, because we've seen you. I think the first time we seen you was on a C4 show. And we're like, well, man, this guy's got a pretty unique look, and he's pretty decent in the ring. And now it seems like you're really starting to break out all over the place.
Well, yeah. I've been doing a lot of booking these days, and I'm getting known a little bit more than I used to be, so I'm glad it happens.
Yeah, and you're one of them guys, I love when people see you for the first time and they don't know what to expect. And then they start seeing some of your antics, man. It always just, like, freaks people out in the crowd.
Yeah, there's always this first awkward moment when they find out what's the character.
So, how long have you actually been wrestling?
Around 6 or 7 years from now.
Wow, man, that's like a lot longer than I actually thought. So I started doing some information, looking up some information. I was like, wow, man, this dude's been around longer than I thought.
Yeah, but I started some wrestling courses with the Mountie Jacques Rougeau in 2005, 2006.
All right.
Then I started an NCW promotion in Montreal as well. I wrestled there, like I think, like 4 years. Then left the wrestling world for about a year in 2010. Then went back with the new gimmick, Bucks Belmar. But instead of being in only NCW, I tried to push more and be known in the Quebec wrestling indie scenes, and even more if it's possible.
Right. So you started off training with Jacques Rougeau, you said, right?
Yes.
Now, how did that go for you? Because I know, like, Kevin Steen doesn't have the best stuff to say about his training methods. How was your experience?
Well, I guess it was all right for the time I was there. I guess I wanted to start wrestling training at a really young age. And this guy was doing commercial on TV about the fact that he was giving some wrestling trainings, and he didn't care really about my age. So I took some wrestling courses about the age of 15, 16. What he taught me was basically how to act in the ring and feel comfortable more than wrestling itself, which was good as well, but not typically what I needed at that time. And then I left for indies training, and that's how I got there.
Right. So you only stayed with him for a short time.
Well, yeah, about a year or two maximum.
And what, you actually started off as Buxy Love?
No, I started as a gimmick, which was, the name was Busty Love, yes.
Busty Love, all right. How did that come about?
Well, we didn't know exactly what gimmick I could do at the time, so there were a website called Porn Star Name Generator. I just wrote my real name in it, and find out that was Busty Love. I really laughed at it and just took the idea and went with it. It wasn't actually a gimmick. It was just a random name for an average character type wrestler.
Oh, so you weren't like doing anything like kind of goofy with it. You're just using it as a name and kind of just wrestling.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Because I see Busty Love. I was like, oh, man, what was he doing early in his career?
Exotic Adrian Street.
So what happened that you decided to change your name and gimmick and come up with the Dirty Bucks Belmar?
Well, I left wrestling for about a year for personal reasons, and when I wanted to get back, there was a time that the people wanted me, like, if I wanted to have a new gimmick or change the Busty Love gimmick because it wasn't going anywhere. So I took time and with friends thought about something that would make a different kind of heel, different kind of persona. And we went up with the idea of being dirty. We tried that around two or three shows, and the response from the crowd was good. So I decided to go further into this character and exploit what I could do in terms of dirty maneuvers and unique kind of maneuvers and moving.
And you definitely do some unique stuff with that character, man. Like, don't you ever worry about, like, getting, like, sick from germs and whatnot?
For what I can say about this part that involves germs and getting sick is that it's wrestling, right? So there's always something you don't know about the trick I do. What I can tell you is that I'm perfectly fine and healthy, and I'll never get sick out of doing these spots.
Because, like, the spot, like, I guess for the listeners that have never seen you, a couple weeks ago at ISW, we seen you, and I know you did it the following day at Beyond, where you went around ringside and had everybody spit into your hand, and then you swallowed all the spit. And that, like, just sent everybody going nuts.
Yeah, that's the spot that usually get a huge reaction.
I would think so, man.
Well, it's not really in terms of germ or scaring of being sick. It's just it's a spot that I know exactly what to do in terms of not getting sick with it, and I'll at least make you react and feel that I'm actually swallowing the thing.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, take my word for it.
Yeah. It works, man. It gets a reaction, that's for sure.
Yeah, as long as it works, you'll see me doing that kind of stuff.
Fuck knows nobody else is doing it. But outside of that, man, you seem to really got a pretty good thing going on in the ring with your work, too.
Yeah, I can't blame my wrestling. I guess my wrestling skills as well are good, which fits with the characters. I think that the Bugs Bunny character is more focused on being a character and being unique in the ring instead of being a great wrestler, but the wrestling comes with it, and it's still good as well, which fits perfectly with, I guess, the popularity that's getting to me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, we'll start with Battle Wars. This Sunday, you're wrestling a Battle War, and you're in the main event, which is you, Speedball Mike Bailey, Player Uno, BBQ Big Bad Quentin, Shane Hawk, and Cowboy Giant Tiger fighting to become the first Battle War champion. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Battle War?
Battle War is a unique promotion. When I say that, if you want to see the best wrestling in Montreal area, Battle War is definitely the place to go. You will find a unique ambience that only Battle War can give you because it's 18 plus. It's in a bar that's been there for 30 years. There's this ambience that you will never find in anywhere, and they'll give you everything they have every show you come. So it's definitely a place you need to see if you like pro wrestling.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. If you were a fan of IWS in the past or any of the Montreal guys.
Yeah, if you were there.
Absolutely, man. We grew up watching IWS getting the VHS tapes down here, man. There was some crazy stuff back in the day.
Yeah, it really feels like IWS, but in the 2000s.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Like, we've seen
yeah, I agree.
We've seen the first 10 shows so far, and I don't think there was a bad show in the bunch, man. These guys up there in Montreal, you just really give a good show every time out.
Yeah, that's their main goal. Like, they don't focus really on putting someone higher than anyone else. It's basically everybody that wants to give the best of what they have, and that's exactly what you see.
And just in the last week or so, three more shows became available on SmartMarkVideo.com. The Summer Block Party, Battle War 11, and Battle War 12, all now available on whatever way you'd like to get through Smart Mark Video.
Just definitely take a look at it.
Yeah.
Definitely, because like I said, we've seen the first 10 shows so far, and just awesome stuff, man, top to bottom, really solid shows. And got to ask you, what's the deal with Mike Patterson, man?
The deal with Mike Patterson?
He's something
else.
What's
your gig on him?
What do you mean with my gig on him? What I think of Mike Patterson?
Like, what's your take on him? I always wondered, like, he seems so out there. Like, the first time I saw him, I thought he was Jim Belushi on acid.
I think he's a great add to this show. I think this guy is really into it as well. And he's taking his own personality throughout the show, and people are getting good reaction to it. Whatever he does, he's really into it, and he has passion.
Yeah,
definitely, man. He's definitely a piece of work, man. He's different from anybody else in the wrestling industry, that's for sure. Absolutely. But Battle War is not the only thing you got going on this weekend, as you're the current North Shore Pro Wrestling Champion, and you're going to be fighting there on Saturday night.
Yes, I will as well, in Quebec City, defending this title against Marco Estrada, Michael Style, and the Masked Man.
And why don't you talk about North Shore a little bit, because that's definitely a promotion that doesn't get very much press outside of its, like, local areas.
No, it doesn't really get the media that it should get, because they're inviting a lot of great stars every time, every show they do. So it's definitely a place to take a look if you're willing to do the drive to, because I know it's far away from main indie scenes of Quebec, which is Montreal and the area. But it's a place to go if you like good wrestling as well.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you have to go. You have to. They do sell all their shows on their own website, and it's kind of, their website's in French, so that's kind of, I think, a drawback kind of for really selling a lot of DVDs and whatnot, since I would think most of the people would speak English.
Yeah, but what I've heard is that they're doing pretty well in Quebec City right now with the French part, and they're looking forward to expand and go another region and expand the NSPW as well, and selling English promotions as well.
Oh, cool.
That's good to hear, because I've watched some of their stuff on YouTube, and I go to their website, and I've seen they've had, like, the Young Boxing lately. And
yeah, they always invite indie superstars that could attract some people from Quebec that no one could ever see anywhere else. It's just that it's sad that it's in Quebec City, so they really try, I think, for next year to bring that part that they can only give in Montreal or the area.
Yeah. You know, actually, I've not even seen one of their shows. I've just let the stuff they put on YouTube. But it looks like it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it's the best promotion you can find in Quebec City as well. I think there's only two or three, but this promotion is doing pretty well since the past 2 years. They have great wrestlers, good talent. They build the future as well. They have, like, their school promotion that do their show right before there. It's like an afternoon show if you want to see what's coming up.
Hmm.
So they're getting pretty good into it, and they have a step into wrestling business in Quebec now.
Interesting. Cool. And since you're based in Montreal, why don't you talk about, like, the independent scene in that area compared to, like, the United States and whatnot?
Well, the mind of the Quebec indie wrestling scene is very different from the U.S. indie wrestling scene. Like, most of the promotion in Montreal and its areas will not pay their workers, and most of the workers will work for free, which is a huge issue about getting paid or not in U.S. In U.S., it's definitely not an issue, and everybody's supposed to be paid. So that's the main difference between, I would say, Quebec indie scene and the U.S.
I've heard that before, man. That's a shame that most people don't get paid up there, because there's so many good workers that come out in Canada. It's, like, unbelievable. Every time any of these guys seem to pop up down here, you're fantastic workers.
Yeah, but there is good wrestlers in Quebec, but there is some shitty wrestlers as well. It's just that the ratio of shitty wrestlers is so huge that because everybody can do it and for free, there is not really a training or something that is required to be a wrestler in Quebec, which is different in U.S. You need to have a corporate training, and you need to have someone that wants to book you because they'll spend money on you,
right,
which is different in Quebec. They won't spend money on you. Maybe they just need a guy to fill a match, and they'll take you because you're there and you're free, which is very different from the mind of U.S. indies.
Yeah, I mean, there is some of that. The guys will go around work for free, but that seems to be, like, more or less than the usual, though, obviously.
Yeah, but slowly people in Quebec are starting to think exactly, well, kind of like the U.S. scene. So most of the wrestlers are slowly getting paid now compared to, let's say, 5 years ago, where most of Quebec indie wrestlers, even the big ones, were not paid.
Wow. That sucks, man. It's like, man, guys are barely getting paid down here, let alone not getting paid up there. It's a shame that, you know, the way you put your bodies on the line.
Yeah, there were still ways to make money out of T-shirts, DVDs, because they were 100% towards the wrestlers and not the promotion. But like I said, it was a different state of mind, and we're slowly changing towards more like the U.S. one.
Good.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
definitely. And it seems like there's a lot of good promotions really starting to pop up again up in the Montreal and Toronto areas in the last couple years, and you seem to be in the mix in almost all of them.
Yeah, well, I try to make my way through. I've been now I'm a part of the Royal Surf C4, which is a great promotion in Ottawa.
Yes.
I think it's one of the best that you can find down there, as long as Smash Wrestling, which is a little bit further in Toronto.
Yep.
It's a great promotion as well, definitely worth a look. And that's basically a promotion I've been in Canada. There's some others that I can't think right now, but There's good promotions in the English Canada as well, but I would say that C4 and Smash Wrestling are the one that pops out the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Squared Circle as well.
Yeah, Squared Circle Live. Do you work for them?
No, I don't work for them, but I will definitely want to take a shot one day.
Yeah, because they've been putting on some pretty loaded lineups lately.
Yeah, as well, I've heard.
But, like, we stay on top of, like, Battle Wars, C4, Alpha 1, and Smash, because they're all available through Smart Mark Video, yeah. So we grab all them and keep up on what's going on in the Canadian indie scene. And we highly recommend it to anybody that's listening, man. Lots of good talent up in Canada.
Definitely, and that's a great thing that Smart Mark Video puts this media window so everybody could see what talent there is there and what needs to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you worked for Smash. Did you go on their recent trip way up north?
I didn't went to Smash recently, but I went there twice, and I can say that every time there, it's very professional promotion. It has great values, and the way it feels right now, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, it seems like when I watch the shows, they pack that E-Zone pretty good.
Yeah, and the kind of venue they have is kind of unique as well, so they have their own kind of, ambience, because it looks like kind of a fun place where there's a lot of TVs, and that's you go there to have a good time, so it fits well with wrestling on Sunday afternoons, which is their time, so that's a pretty good thing, and they have a good place to go on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, it seems like it's working out for them.
Yeah.
But, cool. You've also started to take some dates down here in the U.S. Is that something you're looking to do?
Yes, definitely. Now I'm working for ISW and Beyond Wrestling in U.S. Yeah. And that's been fantastic since I started there.
Yeah, I think you and ISW is like a really good fit.
Yeah, the kind of promotion they have, yeah, and the kind of character that Bucks Bamwell can be really fits together pretty well.
Absolutely. The crowd that they draw and the type of promotion that they are, man, you fit right in as part of the crew. And you and Izzy Deadhead had quite the title match a couple weeks back, even though you came up on the losing end of the stick.
Yeah, but I guess that was a great match as well. This match and this feeling that I had during this time was really unique. The crowd of ISW, it's so unique that every time you wrestle for them, you have the feeling of the crowd that lasts for a couple of days, even after the show, because it's so intense and they give you so much energy that it can't last for only one day.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine, because just being there in the crowd, it's fucking a good vibe, let alone being in the ring with them going nuts for you. It's got to be a really cool feeling.
Yeah, it's a very crazy feeling that's unique to ISW. I guess that's why so many workers like to go there as well. It's that they know that the feeling they will get there will not be felt anywhere else, even if it's other kind of pro wrestling.
Absolutely. You also were just recently in Beyond Wrestling, part of the Tournament for Tomorrow. How did you enjoy working there?
I love Beyond Wrestling as well. It's a very great promotion. Workers there are really great. Everything's really pro. So I had a really good time. I think that the people who hired me there was happy of what I did. So I guess this will continue as well, and I'm really happy of what I'm a part of right now.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, it's really good to hear. I'm always looking to go further. I'm always looking to have more bookings or to be more seen. Try to have a YouTube channel, try to be on the media. It's really hard to have the follow-up of what to do to get noticed, because there's so many ways of communication now that it's really easy to lose track of how to get noticed by people.
Oh, exactly, and there's so many guys everywhere all looking to get the same spot, you know? But I can tell you this, man, anytime I talk to some of the different promoters, I always mention your name as a guy that they should look at, man. Really,
oh, man. It's really appreciated, man. I'm glad to hear that.
Because you do something different that I think sticks out, and it's, like, different from what everybody else is doing, and definitely has a spot on a lot of shows, you know?
Well, yeah, that's my main argument when I try to get booked on other shows, is that I won't tell them that my wrestling will be over the others' wrestling, but what I can give you is some unique type of wrestling that people will see for the first time.
Right. And we were talking about Beyond. I wanted to ask you, as we just watched their America Rana show from the summer, and where they debuted at that Fet Music. How is it working at that place?
It's really like a Battle War place. It feels like the booth, but a little bigger.
Right.
So there's a second stage that's not the backstage as well. It's for the fans. So I guess it feels like it's kind of bigger as crowd purposes. But the feeling is it's really look like Battle War. People are standing up, and they know they are a wrestling crowd. What I mean by that is that they do chant, and they acknowledge that wrestlers are giving what they can to give you the best. So the kind of feeling that people knows what they see, and they acknowledge, and they give you energy to give what the best of what you have, and they appreciate it. And that's a great feeling in those kind of promotions.
Yeah, because, like, they really blew me away. I mean, I thought that building seemed like it was perfect for wrestling. And I thought it seemed like a cross between the ISW and the Battle War places, and you mentioned the Battle War.
That's funny. We were about 2-3 minutes into the show, and I go, wow, it kind of looks like Battle War, but a little bit bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it really feels like it as well. So you can tell that it's great ambience as well with a lot of great workers. So, again, it's always a great place to be and a great place to meet new people.
Yeah, it seemed like a real hot crowd.
It is a real hot crowd. I feel like crowd in U.S. are more aware that it's wrestling, and they are a wrestling crowd, so they're more responding wrestling-wise with chants and things that fits with the match, instead of usually what you get in Quebec wrestling crowd is people that doesn't really get wrestling. They'll get into it because they'll believe what they see, but they don't really get the fact that they are a wrestling crowd, so you will rarely hear wrestling chants in Quebec wrestling than in U.S.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I've noticed that. I know where you're coming from. Yeah.
Far cry from the IWS days.
The only thing is, down here, there's a lot more disrespectful fans, though, too. That's one thing I
As well, know. Everything comes with a bad thing as well. Yep. But you know what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I know.
Exactly. Another thing you did recently is you were on the last two Wrestling is Awesome events. How did that come about? You get to work for them.
I went to a seminar for Beyond Wrestling where Mike Quackenbush was there with the Tabernacle team. And when we did the training matches there, Mike Quackenbush asked me if I was interested in being a wrestler for Wrestling is Awesome in shows. I think it was in October.
Yeah.
So I definitely I put my name. Surfer Mitch as well was asked to be there. So I was just asked by being there at that seminar, and everything went together. So I got the booking, just went there with 3.0, Surfer Mitch, and everything was awesome.
Cool. And then they shut the promotion down on the thing.
They shut the promotion down, but the road trip and everything that came with it. I mean, you always meet good people. You learn from these people, and it's always a good thing to do to have outside bookings to get out of your zone of comfort so you can learn new things and your zone of comfort gets bigger.
Absolutely.
That's good. At least you want to get up and go out, because we've heard that a lot of guys just get complacent where they're at. At least you want to go out and try and get other bookings and move on and everything. That's cool.
Yeah, I feel that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And since you made touch with Quack, has he talked to you about maybe working any of his other wrestling is?
Yeah, the door is open, I guess. So I think he was happy about what he saw. When I wrestled there, there's no confirmation about any other bookings, but I guess that if I need it, I know I'm still on the list.
That's good, because that's definitely one way to get in down here and get seen.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, and Chikara Wrestling and all those promotions that fits together is a great place as well, and they have their own unique kind of wrestling as well, which I think is great.
Yeah, being very family-friendly, I think your whole gimmick and character would be a very interesting in what they try to do.
Yeah, it's very different. It's more zombie-like and more, I would say, mental than physical. I don't do any sexual stuff. But the gimmick is as well. Like, there's other ways of playing the gimmick instead of being 18+.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Definitely.
Like in TOW, let's say for RDS, when they did TV shows, I wasn't allowed to do any sexual stuff or any physical stuff that would mention sexual attraction. So I just played the gimmick differently as best as I could.
Right.
Wow.
Was that was the thing that taped TV?
Yeah, for Le Réseau des Sports, RDS, which is a Quebec TV promotion. So they'll start to play wrestling every Sunday morning. That started last week.
And, How was that, getting to be part of that?
That was a great feeling being on the. It was really like I would say TNA feeling and kind of set wise. The set is really looking like TNA. So it was really a feeling like being a part of a huge thing and a new thing that comes up in Quebec. I think wrestling is getting a new kind of wave of popularity, and by having this spot on TV, and it's basically a tryout they do right now, but if it goes well, it's going to be every Sunday morning for a year that they'll have pure Quebec wrestling like 25 years ago on TV. So it's a great project, and I really hope it goes well for them.
Yeah, because Montreal's got quite the wrestling history, and it's sad to see it like at its current state of just small little indies. You know, it'd be nice to see something start up again. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're really pushing for, and they have a good response, as I can say for now, so I really hope it goes well, and I think it will.
Awesome.
Other than yourself, a lot of the other bigger stars on this TV are more like younger guys.
Well, as maybe you know, it's Frank the Monster is on that show.
Cool.
Sylvain Grenier is on that show. Drew Onyx, Surfer Mitch. The Tabernacle team is on that show as well.
Yeah, TDT, I think they're going to have a huge 2014.
My God, yeah.
I really hope for them. I'm really happy for these guys that they're getting out and their name is really being pushed around. So I'm really happy for them.
Yeah, they're the type of guys, I think just people have to see them and they'll just be big stars. You know, they got their thing down. And
yeah, it's only a matter of one guy seeing them and they're gone. They have the talent for it.
But I think that goes for you too, man. I think just as more people see you, it's just like you got a really good thing going on and you're winning all the crowds over, you know. Just getting that name out there and people seeing you.
Yeah, one step at a time, try to get noticed, and when it will happen, it will happen. But for now, I'm on the good way, and that's what I'm focusing on.
And you mentioned Frankie the Mobster, man. I remember a match from almost a year ago, you and him in C4, where you're having a contest to kind of like out, what would you say? Like, out scumbag each other or something, man. That was some pretty funny stuff.
Yeah,
I had good feedback about that match. That actually led me to have a booking in Smash after that match. So that was a good time and that was a fun match.
See, that's cool. And we weren't the only ones that took notice, I guess. Yeah. That match stayed in my mind. I remember. I'm like, man, that was an awesome match. Like I was telling like my buddies, man, watch this match on C4, man. It's pretty awesome.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you.
And like Frankie the Mobster's one of them guys. I've sat here for a decade and don't understand why he's not in WWE making big time money, you know?
I don't know exactly what happened. I think he had WWE tryouts. I am not aware of exactly what's the story. But what I can tell right now is he's doing pretty well on the TV scene in Quebec, so I guess it's going to work for him as well. He has a kind of unique look. He's really huge. So he's popping out as a TV actor now in the Quebec scene.
That's what we keep hearing, man. So that's good for him, man.
Yeah, good for him. That's another way of being noticed, and I guess this charisma will be noticed on TV as well, if not as much or more than in wrestling.
Definitely. Another thing you got to take part in is last year you got to be part of the Young Lions Cup in Chikara. Why don't you talk about that?
That's a funny story. The reason why I was booked at that show is because it was supposed to be Mike Bailey that goes at that Chikara spot for the Long Island Cup. But I think the week before, the day before, he broke his nose against Katayoshi in C4.
Right.
So he couldn't wrestle for Chikara. So Mike asked at 3.0. Who could replace him, so they put my name, and that's how I got booked. Basically, was Mike Bailey replacement for that spot. But everything was fine, and I think he liked what he saw because he remembered me when I went back to Beyond Wrestling, the Beyond Wrestling seminar. But that was a good time as well, and that was one of the first time I went to the U.S., which was a great feeling. It's always a good feeling to have your first times.
Oh, that match was actually in the U.S.?
No, that's true. That match was in Toronto or London.
My memory was playing tricks on me.
It was London. It was the day after I went to Syracuse, New York, and so it was part of the same weekend.
Were you on that show in New York?
No, I wasn't on the Syracuse show.
I didn't think so. My memory's not as bad as I thought it was.
Have a good memory.
Sometimes. So, yeah, man, this Sunday, man, Battle War, you're in the main event, working in a five-way for the title, man. Montreal, 8 o'clock, it's going to be something else, finally crowning their first champion.
Yeah, I can't wait for that, man. It's going to be the last show of the year, so it's always a huge thing to know, even for Battle War. Even if they're doing their best at every show, the last show of their year is always the last show of the year, so it means that something is coming up. And I guess crowning a new champion on that kind of show is the best thing to do, so I can just wait to wrestle that match, show you who's going to win.
And last year at the Christmas show, you had a match with Green Phantom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The old Montreal gimmick of Christmas tree death match.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
Yeah, you even took a dive off the balcony, man.
Yeah, that's the scariest thing I did right now in my career. As
I
of
can
now.
Imagine. I just gotta imagine, you get up there and look down, and it's gotta be like, holy shit.
Yeah, you can't think. You just have to do it. If you think, you're not doing it.
Fuck, I can imagine, man, just being up there, man. And I'm afraid of heights on top of it. I don't think that's the spot I'd be doing.
I don't know how I did that. I don't know. I went there before the show, placed myself, so okay, I guess I can do that. And I just don't have to think about it. So when the spot came in, when I tried to remember that, it's just that I did what I had to do without thinking about it, because if I would stop only a second to think about it, I'd just doing it.
So physically, how are you holding up? Have you had any major injuries?
Well, this summer I had some minor injury to my left shoulder and my right knee. They're not 100% right now, so I'll see what's coming up for that. I have other appointments with the doctors to see if it's healing up or if it's decreasing, and with the response I'll have, that will be exactly what I'm looking for in regards of booking, to see if I slow down a bit because it's like I'm getting hurt, or if I'm okay, I'm healing up, and I can just continue that type of booking as well. So I'll have these answers, I guess, in the end of January, and that will be exactly the answer of how my 2014 years will be.
Yeah,
I see a big year coming as long as you're healthy.
Yeah, as long as I'm healthy, I'll be all right.
I agree. With finally getting some exposure in the U.S., man, it's definitely all up, you know, all looking up from here, man.
Yeah, I really hope to. Even if I'm decreasing in regards to my shoulder or my left knee, what basically I will do is just decrease the booking I have in Canada and the lesser one that I'm having, only like to get a little bit of notice, and just choose the one that are the biggest in regards to have the media or the attention I need in regards to be known. Right. But we'll see. We'll see. That's the end of January, so we'll see about that.
So what other bookings you got coming up besides this weekend you'd like to promote?
Oh, well, that's basically my last bookings that I have for the year of 2015.
That's it for the year, this weekend, man.
This weekend is my last weekend, and I'm glad it had up that way with NSPW. It's been a great year. I've been champion there. I'll stay the champion for 2014. And for Battle One, well, it's an honor to end up my year with that show.
Look at you in all these title matches. You're the champ in North Shore. You're fighting for your title at Battle War. You just fought for the title at ISW. You were in a title match a few months back at C4. That's a good place to be, I think, when everyone's putting you in their title matches.
Well, yes, if people believe, like I believe, that I can be champion, well, that's a great thing, and that's the reason I'm there. If I believe it, people believe it, and I can achieve that by making other people believe what I believe.
Yeah. I would love to see you down here in, like, all the... There's a lot of good indies down here in the States, and I would just love to see you a part of all of them.
Well, if you can tell them about Bucks Del Mar, that would be my pleasure to go there.
That's what this show is all about, buddy.
We like getting these guys on and getting the word out about you, man.
It's perfect. That's a great thing.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
And this weekend, North Shore Pro on Saturday, Battle War on Sunday, man. Dirty Bucks Belmar. We appreciate you being on the show. This has been fun.
I really appreciate, and thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time,
believe,
man.
Believe us. Definitely appreciate it. You're definitely one of our favorites.
If you've never seen Dirty Bucks Belmar, man, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube or go to Smart Mark Video and check them out, man. You won't be disappointed.
No.
Why don't you tell the people where they could find you on Twitter and Facebook?
Well, they can find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Box Belmar. They can hit me on Twitter at Dirty Box Belmar. YouTube, you just have to type Box Belmar as well. It's all connected. You'll find all the links. And if you want to have any information, don't be scared to send me a message, and I'll listen, answer quickly.
There you go.
There you go.
And if you're a promoter listening, book this motherfucker, man.
Thanks again, guys. It's a great thing.
Thank you,
no
man.
No problem, man.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah.
Have a nice evening.
You too. See
you. Bye-bye.
And we are on the road, as they would say, as we're recording this on Sunday night.
We paid our dues.
December 1st, after spending the weekend on the road Friday night at Absolute Intense Wrestling in Cleveland, Ohio at the famed Turner's Hall, and then Saturday night for AAW Pro Wrestling Redefined at the legendary Berwyn Eagles Club. And since we're stuck in this car for like fucking 12 hours or whatever the fuck it turns out to be, I figured we might as well talk about it now while we're on the road. So, of course, Uncle Mike's here with me.
What's going on, man?
And we got the outlaw Mikey Falcone with us, too.
I'm actually podcasting and driving for once. We're actually doing a role reversal here. It's always Tom driving, but I'm behind the wheel tonight.
New wheel man.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the new wheel man.
Wheel man.
But, yeah, buddy, this has been a hell of a trip, and honest to God, like a 10-hour car ride home would be really intimidating, and I'll be honest with you, on Thanksgiving all day, I was just thinking about this day and this, you know, long car ride home. But after the weekend that we just saw, the two wrestling shows that we saw, and the moments that we were there for and stuff like that, you know, honest to God, it was probably worth it. I think I definitely would say I don't have any regrets going. And I look for this to be like an annual thing, you know. This is something I really enjoy doing.
Thanksgiving tradition.
The new Thanksgiving tradition. Now that the Survivor Series.
I think we're going to start flying.
Yeah, now that's what I was going to say. I think what we do is if we even rent a car going out there and then just fly back from there. Because I didn't mind driving out there. It was at least fun, but yeah, I know what you mean still. Because, you know, to go from Cleveland to Chicago. Yeah, to go from Cleveland to Chicago wasn't too bad. Or even from Wilkes-Barre to Cleveland wasn't too bad, but I think this Chicago to Wilkes-Barre, we got to change our plans.
Got to leave this for the young bucks just breaking in, paying their dues. Right. I'm getting too old for this car ride in 12 hours stuff. But yo, man, it's been a fun weekend.
Yeah. We saw people almost die. We saw a new champion crowned. We saw a lot of good wrestling. It was a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun.
Let's start first with the Friday show. AIW presented their
ninth
Hell
annual.
On Earth, number 9, ninth annual.
Both of these shows were the ninth annual. Ninth annual Windy City Classic, ninth annual Hell on Earth 8. Or ninth annual Hell on Earth.
And AIW, they drew their biggest crowd today at Turner's Hall, as they had well over 200 people.
Oh,
probably a 250 to 300, maybe. Probably about 250, somewhere around there. Which, the building was really fucking crowded, man. And good for them, man. They're doing some good stuff, and they deserve to see good results, you know?
Yeah, like, the two end sides were packed from the guardrail back to the wall, and then where, like, the camera's at and stuff like that. Those seats were so far back, almost touching where the Smart Mark table was set up. And normally, there's a little bit of room there, but this time, I mean, they had, it was jammed, and we were there for Absolution when I thought it was pretty crowded, and, like, I was just so thrilled for everybody involved in AIW to have such a crowd for that, because they deserve it, number one, and number two, I mean, I think it's about time everybody wakes up and comes out to these shows. It means people were actually wanted to travel and actually wanted to come out, so that's really good.
Yeah, good for them. They had their best advance, they had their best draw. That's good. They've been at Turner's Hall for a few years now. It's good to see the crowds are getting bigger, you know?
Watch out, buddy. That was a decapitated deer.
So, it opened up with Colin Delaney taking on Ty Colton. Who most of you would know as Johnny Wave from the Canadian circuit. And they had a really good opener. Really set the tone. Colin Delaney is really over at Turner's Hall, safe to say. And I thought Johnny Wave looked really good, but he wants to go to new name, Ty Colton. And at first, it's going to hurt because, like, so nobody really knows who he is to begin with, and yeah. It's a strange name. And so he didn't get much of a response, but I thought he looked really good in the feet.
They got a good hand at the end of the match.
Yes, he did.
Both guys, you know.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he did, like, a moonsault or something like that, and his knees ended up hitting the guardrail, so that had a...
Yeah, that was
nice. I thought he would definitely get hurt on that. He jumped right the fuck back up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looked good. They had a good match. Colin Delaney went over. And great way to start the show.
Yeah. I mean, solid opener. I wouldn't say it was spectacular or anything like that, but I thought it was a solid opener. And I was, honestly, God, I'll be honest with you, for like some of this match, I was just like kind of looking around going, oh my God, look at this crowd. I was just kind of...
Yeah, it just kept growing.
Yeah, I was just kind of watching the people pack the place. Yeah. So that was fun. But yeah, good opener, Colin Delaney. This has been, you know, Colin Delaney's breakout year in a way. I mean, obviously he was in WWE, but like, in terms of AIW, where he won the Gauntlet for the Gold, had the title match at Absolution. It's been, you know, it's been like a year where... You know, Colin's like this cornerstone of the promotion now, and he got the win. That was a fun opener.
Definitely. Set the tone for a show. The crowd was in there.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. They didn't do too much where they couldn't be followed.
Exactly.
It's good. Next up,
Greg Iron Angle, right? What do you call it? CM Punk's music hits.
Yeah, Gregory Iron came out. What a crew of security guards.
Super Cop Dick Justice among them.
Benjamin Boone was another one, and there was a local guy, big, ripped, shredded local dude, and he did his heel shtick, and I had an open challenge to anybody in the crowd, and he chose this girl that looked like she was 15, but I guess she's actually like 22 or 23, I heard, but it was pretty good. Like, he started to rough her up, and
oh my God.
She got like a revenge.
Yeah, he fucking like tore her hair out.
But then Greg attacked her and really roughed her up. And security and owners, everyone's running the ring trying to pull it apart. And got really chaotic. And it was quite the scene, man. Like, just trying to do something a little chaotic and shoot style.
I
thought
liked it.
Came off really good.
I liked it. It was like an ECW style, like, riot.
Total shock value.
Yeah.
What was
then we had the AIW intense title as Lewis Linden defended against Marion Fontaine, who he is tag team champions with in AAW. But on this leg, they fight each other. And both guys are really over at AIW. So, like, the crowd was into both of them, too, as they're both baby faces. And Marion Fontaine, he's got his own type of style. And as he's part of the old school. Jack Sampson.
Old School Express.
Yeah, Old School Express. And they had a good match. I thought they worked really well together. Lewis Linden ended up retaining. But Marion Fontaine did look good.
Yeah, I thought this was okay. I wasn't too crazy about this match when it was all said and done, to be honest with you. I was more excited about Lewis's next match, which we'll get to in a little while at the next show. But this was all right. Like, to be honest, I like both guys, but I wasn't feeling this match too much. That's
I thought
opinion.
It was solid.
Yeah,
everything they did was good, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was a real good match, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like anything that'll blow you away. It was a good, solid match.
They even did, like, the ring the bell with the intermission.
That's right. They even did the round.
Yeah.
And they did they did play a lot of comedy up with that. Like, Lewis Linden was about to go for like some kind of dive off the top rope, and right as he did, the bell rang and Fontaine just walked to his corner, and so Linden just splashed on the fucking on the ring mat. And they did do a lot of comedy with that. But in the end, Lewis Linden retained. Then the next thing up, it was really cool, and unfortunately it's not even going to be on the DVD, is Ethan Page came out. He cut a heel promo talking about how much bullshit it was about old Dramatis winning the belt and everything else.
He's not even here.
Yeah, now he's not even there. And like,
no, he lost to an insect. An insect that killed, that already killed one company.
And basically that he's just healing it up. And really, no matter what he did, the fucking Cleveland crowd just wasn't having it. But then Shima Zion came out, and they ended up setting up an impromptu match between AIW's past versus AIW's present.
Yeah, Ethan cut a promo, man, and I tell you, he reminds me so much of the franchise Shane Douglas with how he just controls on that microphone. He's just awesome. They did a thing where, obviously, with Zima Ion and TNA can't be on a DVD. So what they had was people just take out their smartphones and just record it. So I saw John Thorne recording it, so maybe it'll be up on, you know, his point of view. Maybe it'll probably be uploaded. Maybe whoever else had it too. So if you're listening to this, obviously, when it comes out, or really whenever, I guess I would probably just check YouTube, you know, type in whatever, because I think it'll probably have some of the variation up on there. So I guess that's kind of like AIW's little loophole around the whole can't appear on DVD thing, you know. But I thought that was good. The match was good too.
Yeah.
I like Ethan Page a lot, and I like Shima Zion, and they had a good match. And I'm trying to think if there's something else I wanted to say about this. Shima Zion definitely comes off, you know, you can tell, like, when you see him live. I mean, he has that presentation of a television star, so. Even though I don't want to say he is a star, no slight on him, just how TNA is, you know what I mean? No one's really looked at as a star. But he looked really good, as did Ethan Carter III. I thought, like, when he came out.
Yeah.
And just his, and we'll get to this, but just his physique and the way he just comes off, you know what I mean? You know, EC3 and Shima Zion, they're both stars, you know, definitely. So it's nice that they could come on here and work AIW still.
Getting back to your point, Ethan Page, his promo that he cut when he came out was really top shelf stuff. Mm-hmm. Really great work. And him and Zima Ion, the match was really fantastic too. It's a shame it's not going to be on the DVD. It's something I'd like to see again, you know? It's like, fuck. Well, and it was really,
that's
really
nice,
good.
I guess I'll have to watch, see if it'll be on YouTube, I guess, you know.
And Ethan Page did end up going over, which I remember we debated during the match. I asked you what you thought, and I really thought they were going to put Zima Ion over, and I'm happy they didn't. As Ethan Page is the guy that's going to be there every show and not Zima.
I think I said that, what was it, you or Mike? I said that I was like, oh shit, I'm shocked he won, because I figured they would have kept a little, like, a losing streak thing going with Ethan Page, you know?
Yeah. I'm happy they didn't do that, you know? Fuck the losing streak.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, coming out crying about losing to Ultraman, as he's not there, takes on now TNA star. I didn't think he was going to win, honestly.
Neither did I. I'm happy he did. So that was cool.
Yeah.
And I guess look for bootleg videos of it on YouTube.
Yeah, I tried doing it, but my iPhone, I have like the old, I say old, it's 2 years old, the iPhone 4S, and just with the stupid iOS and all that shit now, it's like, my phone is like basically like, it's like shit now, you know, because it's Apple.
Then we had the AIW tag team titles.
Yes.
As the Batiri defended the titles against the Jollyville Fuckets.
And lots of fun.
And again, Cobalt was in the match as one member of Batiri is over in Japan.
Ovarian. Over
Japan. Yeah, so this is the second time now in a row that he wasn't there. And they had a match. It was pretty good. I liked the Jollyville Fuckets a lot. And it was solid, and the Jollyville Fuckets won the belts.
Yeah. They hit the pounce and got the pin. Really good match, I thought. And the thing about the Fuckets is like, they don't really work a lot of places. And AIW is the team that, I mean, AIW is like the promotion that really kind of gave them a big break. And, you know, they gave them the ball, and I think they're going to run with it, because they had a really good start of the month at Double Dare. And then you finish the month here with the tag match, with the tag title match, and you win it. So now, you know, Nasty Russ, Team Money, it's like they're the champs now. And it's like, they're these two guys where they're AIW's guys, I think. You know what I mean? Even if, you know, they go, I hope they go out and work other places. But, you know, these are guys that can kind of maybe help with that brand. You know what I mean? The AIW brand and this and that, you know. So I was really happy to see them win the belts. And I like the Batiri too, but I think they made the right move getting the belts on the Fuckets.
Definitely. I agree with everything you said, basically.
Yeah.
Jollyville Fuckets, really fun team to watch. I definitely hope they get more bookings.
Yeah.
It's great to see him more often than just AIW. It's great that they are an AIW regularly. Now they're the tag team.
Another thing I like about them, too, is the ring jackets. They wear matching ring jackets to the ring. And that's like 80s. You know what I mean? That's like 80s tag team. I dig that. That's like one of those little things I appreciate, you know?
New tag team champion.
What do you think, Uncle Mike? I'm glad for the Jolly Bill Buckets. You know, when they first came on the scene or the first time I saw them, you know, like, but then it, more and more, I kept seeing them. They kept growing on me. And
then
that
you
one
over.
Singles match, Nasty Russ. Who was it? Was it Elgin? Who was against a monster?
Probably
and
in
took
the
a
J-Lit.
Fucking beating.
Well, he wrestled Dickinson at the
gym. Then maybe it's the Dickinson match I'm thinking of. Yeah, it has to be that then.
Because the next night they wrestled Open Change at Money Game Man of the Spear, yeah.
That totally changed my look at Nasty Rust.
So then we had intermission coming off the tag title change. And
yeah, that was good.
That was fine. Then we came back to start the second half and opened up with Tim Donst versus Michael Hutter. A.K.A. Ethan Carter III.
Who, like I said, is in phenomenal shape, man. He's ripped.
Yeah, man. Like, unbelievable how great Hutter looks in person. Really fucking ripped up.
And work rate, too. I think he's a really good worker, too. Him and Dines, like, had an absolute fucking war, man. They were just...
Yeah, again. Because they had a great match at Absolution, and they were able to back it up again, you know, and have a really good sequel.
Yeah.
Really physical, really back and forth. Good fucking match.
Thumbtacks, table, you know, from the ring to the guardrail.
Yeah, thumbtacks. I woke up the next day and I'm walking down the hall in the hotel and I look, I had 3 thumbtacks in my fucking sneaker. Crazy.
Honestly, I think I like this match better than the first one.
Yeah?
I mean, I like both matches, don't get me wrong. Well, especially at the end. You know, like the respect and everything.
Yeah.
I get into that. I like that.
Because then Tim Donst ended up winning by some, not by his VS.
Yeah.
Well, it was submission, but I think it was more like where he passed out.
Yeah,
and
the ref
stopped it. And
but I mean, obviously after just both guys just beating the fuck out of each other, you know what I mean?
Well, the ref had to stop
it. Yeah, so I dig that. I like those kind of finishes, you know what I mean? Because they're, you know, they're kind of, like, realistic kind of a finish that, so no complaints.
Post-match, Tim Donst announced that he was challenging Chris Hero, who was announced for December 27th, saying he wanted the match with Hero.
Student versus teacher, because Donst already wrestled Quackenbush, and now he wants to wrestle Hero, because Hero was obviously when they were both in Chikara, and Hero was with the Wrestle Factory. You know, there's that dynamic involved. So I think of all the guys on AIW's roster to work, Chris Hero in his return match, I think Donst is a good choice. Because I think there's some excitement for that, too. Because I think you're going to get, like, the Chikara fans involved in that, too. I had posted on Twitter, and it got a lot of retweets, and a lot of people had commented on it. So I think that's a match that's going to hook some people. And I think Hero's getting booked everywhere, and Hero's getting booked against every guy. But I think him and Dunst, there's, like, a backstory to it. So I think that's something different than, like, you know, having them a fresh match. And I like those, you know, fresh matches that they have them in, too, but... Good choice by the AIW people.
Yeah. And then they had that moment with Michael Hutter and Tim Donst where they shook hands and put each other over. Real cool little moment. After all of that. So good stuff. So that means it's probably going to be Tim Donst versus Chris Hero December 27th.
It's going to be,
in Cleveland, Ohio at the Turner's Hall. Get your tickets, man. So then we had what was advertised as one of the main events of the evening as the King of Cleveland, Johnny Gargano, took on Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
And I thought these two were fucking great. I thought this really lived up to my expectations.
This was a really great match. The crowd was, like, standing for the entire match. They started the match with that big spot that they did in their Bola match with, like, Kevin Steen going for the package pile driver or something like that, you know, and then Gargano goes and tries to hook the Gargano escape real quick. So that was really cool, starting the match off like on a real high note, real hot note. They work really well together, and I'd like to see him wrestle again, obviously, with, you know, Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate, you know, different things. It's one of those matches where, you know, you can only see it in certain places, and I was happy to see it in Cleveland, and I wouldn't mind seeing it again in Cleveland, because I think, you know, the rematch could be good, too. Yeah, like I said, the crowd was standing for all this, and, let's see, just a really good match. You know, I thought, like, this was a match, you know, when we planned this whole weekend, like, this was one of the matches that was, like, at the top of the list of, like, what I wanted to see the most. At the end of the day, I think it lived up to it, so good work.
Definitely. Definitely worth checking out the DVD just for this match alone, you know.
I know, like, after, not to just talk, but Kevin Cena tweeted after the match that Johnny Gargano is the new El Generico. And that's some kind of that what we said. I think we said actually last week on the 2CW review with, you know, with El Generico gone. There has to be like this new guy that just no matter who he wrestles, he's just having great matches with everybody. And I said AR Fox or Elgin or the Young Bucks. Throw Johnny Gargano's name in that mix too, because I think he's definitely involved. And I think for Steen to say that, you know, to compare him to his best friend El Generico and to give him to pay him such a compliment like that, I think, you know, is definitely well deserved and definitely something that Steen means. It's not like he's just saying it just, you know, just a bullshit. Like, so, good match. Check the DVD just for this, let alone the entire other, you know, rest of the other show.
This is my favorite match of the night, actually.
There you go. It's the Uncle Mike, old baby doll match of the night.
You notice when it came out, obviously, Gargano from Cleveland, big hand. Steen finally got a good hand. At the end of that match, that whole fucking place was standing, and everybody was screaming Kevin Steen's name.
Oh, yeah, totally. So,
I mean, he got a good reaction. He came out, but after that match, and people who might not have never seen him or just heard about him, that whole building was behind Kevin Steen.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and then after the match, Ethan Page comes out and kind of beats up the them, and then Lewis Linden joins them in. So next month at AIW, in addition to Hero and Dunn, we're going to have Steen. And what's it going to be? Yes,
Steen takes on Lewis Linden.
Yeah,
pretty intense title.
So that'll be real good. And maybe Gargano and Page.
Most likely
Johnny
Gargano versus Ethan Page.
They are doing it. They were, yeah, right?
So Linden and Steen, I think, is going to be really fun because, to get to that real quick, Linden's a guy who's really tearing it up, and he's almost at that next level. I think he just needs the guys to work with to get him there and get him noticed to be on that level. And, I mean, who better to pick than Kevin Steen to have him be that, you know, to be that guy? So, and that's the first, I mean, when the hell they ever wrestled before, you know? So
I know they were in a tag match in Smash.
Yeah.
But did they end up working in the maybe the Bat Bola this year?
No.
It
wasn't
there. What did I say? What, Lewis Linden?
No, I thought you were talking about Steen and Gargano.
Oh, no, Lewis Linden and Steen. Like, Lewis
Oh,
Linden
yeah,
Linden,
yeah,
guy,
that's
yeah.
I don't think they've ever worked before.
No.
I can recall.
Yeah, definitely.
Steen Gargano was supposed to be that main event, main tag match in Smash to be.
Yeah.
Which is a great match.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to know we're about passing Snowshoe, Pennsylvania, which is a city that exists.
Snowshoe, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right. Well, it was there for a second right when we started recording. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah, it stopped though, thankfully.
Well, it's like we're saying, Johnny Gargano went over, and then post-match, Steen cut a promo putting Gargano over and shook his hand, and that's when Ethan Page and Lewis Linden came out and attacked him. Set up for the next show, which should be some good stuff, like we're saying. But Lewis Linden defending against Kevin Steen, and most likely Johnny Gargano against Ethan Page. Actually, Gargano and Ethan Page are fighting up in Hamilton, Ontario at Alpha One this past Sunday with the Alpha One title on the line. But anyway, so then we had women's matches. It was Vita Scott versus Amarya Bell. And this was fine. Like, I don't think you're going to expect, like, a five-star classic from these two or anything, but I thought for who was in the ring, I thought they both looked good. I think Vita Scott's one of those girls, she's getting better and better as she goes. Just gotta love her. She gets dates all over the place, man. You know?
Yeah. I had to go outside of the car and charge my phone for this match, so I missed all of it.
But anyway, basically, they went back and forth, and Gregory Iron came out with his security staff. And he did some ref distracting the referee, but it ended up backfiring. He ended up hitting Vita Scott by accident. Marty Bell ended up getting the victory because of Gregory Iron's backfiring interference. So post-match, Vita Scott and Gregory Iron basically broke up, and she revealed she filed paperwork and he no longer gets the courtesy of a four count due to his handicap, and it's now back to a three count.
Well, they won the titles last year. I mean, they formed last year pretty much, and then they won, and then they broke up this year. So, and Hell on Earth 8, and then Hell on Earth 9, they broke up. So, that 1 year relationship is now over. And
yeah,
I mean, I think they were. I think it. You know, I think that was. It was a good act for a little while, but I think it was. I'm glad it's done with. To be honest with you, just because I think both people could maybe have better options elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it played its course. I think it was all. Yeah. Put together and played out. It was
time,
you know.
See what Vader's got going on next, and I'm really excited about this Greg Iron thing now too. I'm excited to see where that goes because I like him having like this big posse of tough guys, you know, and he's like standing in the middle, you know, provoking everybody.
All good storylines have a beginning, a middle, and the end, and this had that. And now they'll probably feud against each other, so it'll be a beginning of a feud they can go to now.
I want a fucking bloody brawl between these two.
The only thing I didn't like is. It didn't come off like Veda Scott was turned babyface, though.
Yeah.
It was like, if there's a confrontation, to me, it's still going to be like heel versus heel.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things, though, if they do fight, the crowd will obviously cheer for Veda.
Yeah.
So they're definitely positioned
right,
it that way.
Like, as it was presented there in the ring, and she didn't come off.
No, you're absolutely right.
You know?
But that's part of the reason they shot the angle early tonight is to really get some more heat on Gregory Iron by beating up what looked like a little girl. Still a girl, whatever age it is, you know. So then that led us to the main event. What a main event it was, as it was Team Nixon of Bobby Beverly, Ricky Shane Page, Eric Ryan, and the Duke against Chess Flexer, Josh Prohibition, M-Dog 20, Matt Cross, and a mystery partner for control of AIW. As this has been something that's built for a year and a half. As last year at Absolution, Nixon formed, and they had 50% ownership with the Duke in the company, and Chess Flexer had the other 50%. So they've been doing this feud for a year and a half. So this was the final blow-off to it.
Yeah. And then, of course, they had the match last year with Nixon and AIW that you guys were at, where Eric Ryan, you know, just... You know, did like a just bled all over the place, and he repeated that this year. That was one of my favorite matches from last year.
Yeah,
I love that match.
So 1 year later,
and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but they did make the mistake just because it's not my one. They didn't make this, they did make the right choice in having this match go on last as opposed to the last time where they had everybody move the chairs back and then put them back out.
Yes,
because you can't as great as Gargano and Elgin was or whatever the main event of that show was. You know, you can't. You know, after that, a brawl like that. So, after a brawl like this, you know, at this show, it was unbelievable. Nephew Ricky, huh?
Yeah, and this was another one of them crazy matches. They had all kinds of weapons. They had light tubes. They had barbed wire. They had light tubes with fish hooks hooked to them, which is fucking crazy. Of course, our nephew Ricky Shane Page took them.
Ricky almost died, man. We heard like the thump that he made when he hit that ground. We didn't see the actual fall because it was on the one side of the ring, but like you could feel it. You could feel it on your feet. You know what I mean? Just by standing on that floor and hearing that thud.
Yeah, both Eric Ryan and Ricky Shane Page both took crazy bumps. Eric Ryan got launched over the top rope through, I think it was like a whole bunch of chairs.
Yeah.
And then Ricky Shane Page got thrown off the top through, which is, I know there was like light tubes and all kinds of shit that he went through, man. God
love. There was light tubes.
Yeah, like I said, what a thud when he went through, whatever the hell he went through.
Above and beyond the Call of Duty last night, or 2 nights ago in the main event from Ricky Shane Page. And if you're in the Wild Brutality, man, this match is for you. Once again, Eric Ryan was busted up and bleeding all over the place just like last year, and they had people brawling all over the building. And another great wild brawl. And at the end, Chess Flexer threw a fireball in the Duke's face to get the win. One thing we failed to mention was the mystery partner.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
It was right when the match was about to begin. They said the mystery partner is the music played, and Bobby Beverly turned on Nixon.
No, no music played. It was just a turn, right?
Bobby Beverly turned, and Super yeah. Kick, was it the Duke, I believe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, that kind of came out of nowhere, and it was kind of, it got like a really odd reaction from the crowd, like nobody knew how to kind of take to it, and
I think everybody's, because everybody's looking at the entrance when yeah. they're looking at the ring.
It was real confusing, and what made it weird is it actually gave the babyface team four-on-three advantage for the whole match, which, in a way, this was the blow-off in Nixon, so it was like, fuck it, so it was kind of like the babyface is mostly really giving it to Nixon for a good chunk of the match, as Nixon lost, and I guess they're going to break up now. And Bobby Beverly cut a really nice babyface promo after the match, explaining his actions, which really helped get the turnover.
Yeah. And I fucking don't let it fool you, man. Duke and Chess Flexer, they busted their fucking ass for this match.
Oh, yeah.
They took a beat.
When yeah. the Duke wrestles, man, he's got his working boots on every yeah, time, right. because he works his ass off, and he takes some hell bumps, man. And he did this match. And as much as you were saying, you know, Johnny Gargano could be like maybe like the workhorse of the promotion, but you know, Josh and Cross are like the backbone of this promotion. So yeah. having them in the ring and having them, you know,
yeah, and get two out you know, there get, and all get the craziness.
Big win, yeah, get the big yeah. win
down in it when they don't have to at this point in their careers, man. Good stuff, awesome main event between this and the Gargano Steam match alone makes it a definitely buy DVD. The second half. The tag title second match half, in the yeah, second half was really yeah. fantastic stuff, man.
Second half was good. Tag title match was good. Opener was okay. Like I said, solid. You guys like the intense title match, so, you know, there's that, too. And good, really good match. And like I said, a giant crowd. So
yeah.
It was
good.
I can't recommend this show enough to pick up.
We'll be out a week or two on SmartMogVideo.com. And definitely worth checking out when it comes out. And Aaron, our boy Aaron Bauer and Leonard F. Chikarson were doing some commentary, man. It was good to see both of them. I haven't seen Leonard in a while either, even though we live like 10 minutes from each other, you know. But yeah, it's always a great time seeing Aaron and John Thorne and Chandler Biggins. They put on a good show, man. Really good guys.
Slinging a hot box of the hottest nachos.
Our boy Monsoon Classic working overtime with all the extra people. There was a line at the concession stand big part of the evening, man. Get it down, making it happen.
Actually, after the show, I was talking to him, he missed a lot, you know, like compared to when we go over a show with him, he even said to me, he goes, oh man, he goes, I didn't really get to see a lot of this at all, so he was obviously busy all night long.
Yeah, good for him. It's good to see them, like, finally drawn well at Turner's Hall, you know, being there for a while and working out. It was good stuff, man. We had a good time.
I had a great time. And again, like, Thorne and Biggins are great hosts. I think they really got something special going on. Like I said, this is now our fifth time, or at least my fifth time being up there in Cleveland. And hopefully another five more after that, because I really like going a lot. And everyone's really nice. And I just really enjoy myself when I go there. And I really I really...
I see it.
I really just can't, you know... You worry and you hold your iPad, buddy, and you let me drive.
Now we're all right.
Oh, that was like a whole reversal
there. Yeah, it was a good time Friday night in Cleveland, and they returned, like we said, December 27th. And one thing that was cool, like, about this weekend, it was cool to see AIW and AAW work together to bring in a talent like Kevin Steen.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think, you know what, honest to God, I wonder if how much of the draw was because of Steen, you know?
Steen,
both shows, both nights had really, really big crowds, and Steen was on both shows. So,
what's
the correlation?
You also wonder, everybody's off, and it's a Thanksgiving weekend, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely another thing. I saw, I may or may not have seen a current WWE superstar there as well. So, he was enjoying the show, as he always does. And apparently, if they don't see him as a main eventer in WWE, I think, you know. Not like I want the guy to get fired and lose what I'm sure is a giant contract and a nice salary, but come on over to AIW and right?
We don't wish that on
him and Gargano. Could you imagine?
That'd be awesome.
And ACH.
I'd much rather see it in WWE for their sake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, hell
for their sake. But I mean, if I want to be selfish, I'd say I want to see it in the Indies.
Yeah. cool Friday night. Anyway, you are throwing out all these ideas why the crowd was up. I'm going to take full credit, as this was the third of four shows in 3 weeks I went to that had their record crowd.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take all the credit. ISW had their biggest crowd today. We were there. 2CW packed the Binghamton fucking American Legion, bigger, more than they ever had before. We were there. Biggest crowd Friday night at AIW. We were there, and we're going to talk about AAW coming up in a second.
We're going to get like
biggest crowd they ever had in Berwyn. We were there. It's got to be us, man. It's got to be us. See how the Mike and Tom show.
I was going to say, too bad BWAA didn't have a show on Sunday, man, because they need a big crowd. And that's not a knock on them. It's just sad. You know, you got to see all those BWA shows, and not a lot of people at them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, yes. So that's our roundup on AIW, and we're going to be right back to talk about AAW. And now we're back to talk about AAW's Windy City Classic 9 from the legendary and famous Berwyn Eagles Club in beautiful Berwyn, Illinois. As this was the first time all three of us have finally gotten to the Berwyn Eagles Club, man. And before we even talk about the show, did it live up to what you expected, Mike Falcone?
Yeah, I thought it did, as well as just like the venue itself, as well as the show. Because the Berwyn Eagles Club is a venue I've been watching for a while, and like a lot of buildings. Even like the first time I went to the UCW Arena, it was pretty much, you know, like that shock that you're here in that venue that you've been watching, you know what I mean, for so many years. And I thought, yeah, it definitely lived up to a lot of things. And it was a hell of a show and a hell of a finish and just everything about it. Like, I was like in like a high just the entire time I was there. Just because everything was, it was just so much fun to be there. Like, I was just having such a blast. So, yes.
How about you, Uncle Mike?
Oh, I've been waiting for this my whole life. God, I thought it rolled. I loved it. Loved the fucking venue. Loved it. The crowd was hot and huge.
You couldn't fucking move to get around that place. No. We were silly enough to pick fucking seats on the other side from the bar, so we had to walk around the whole building every time we wanted to get a beer, which was impossible, man.
Yeah.
There was people packed in there, sitting on the stairs that go up to the front door and everything.
Yeah, when the lights were out, you couldn't see for fucking shit, you know?
Yeah.
It was so crowded, like, when like during the intermission, like, you couldn't move. We had to, like, walk... We had to go to the first row, like, on the one side and walk through there because, like, just, like, where there was very little room where the merchandise table was and just, like, where, like, that black curtain that they have, like, there's a little space behind there. Like, there was no way anyone could move because it was just, like, a mass of people there the entire time. And, like I said, I don't really... I didn't have anything to compare it to, like, live anyway, you know, but, like, just seeing just how crowded it was, like, was just really, like, a lot of fun. I think it really, like, added to that magical atmosphere that was there, because, yeah, like I said, we were just waiting for this, you know, to be there for such a long time, and just to finally be there and have it be the show that we got. It was just really, really something.
Yeah, man, I thought the building was smaller than I thought it was going to be. If I can say that, but it's an awesome little room for wrestling, and they packed it, man. It was between 250 and 300 people in there, and it was great, man. The atmosphere in that place is electric. The crowd's hot and into it. Lots of great chants. It's a really good time, and the AAW organization as a whole are just tremendous, man.
Yeah,
from Jim Lynham, the Mike Petrovic, the Danny Daniels, Phil Colvin, like all fucking great people.
Dr. Keith, man.
12 feet tall Dr. Keith is fucking awesome.
Phil Colvin. Great. And, like, I'm not even, like, I mean, I'm not even Uncle Mike or Tom. I'm not even, like, on this show directly. And, like, they still, like, were very welcoming to me and just everything. I really appreciated that. Like, it was just so much fun. I just can't speak enough about it, you know? It was great.
Yeah, I have a couple things on my bucket list, and going to the Berwyn Eagles Club to watch wrestling was definitely one of them. And this has been a great Thanksgiving tradition we've done 2 years in a row, and I know I'm going to do it next year. And fuck, I even want to get back there before a year from now. You know, it was that much fun.
Yeah.
Start saving for an airplane ticket, because we're not driving.
Yeah.
We finally got to meet Greg Davis, man.
Yes.
That was really, really cool.
And
good
a shout
dude.
Out to a long time, I don't know his last name, or Dave, who we also met at Bourbon Street the first time. Long time listener. I'd like to say hi to him if he's listening.
Yeah, man, thanks, Dave, for listening. We appreciate it. We met him last year, got to hang out with him a little bit this year, talk some wrestling. That was really cool, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And even a couple of Mikey's friends,
Alex
and Alyssa, man. Hardcore.
Well, hardcore. I was going to say, they're like the female Mikey top, because they're the ones that traveled all the way from, Alyssa's from Philadelphia, and Alex is from Brooklyn, so for them to even come out, you know, make that way, that's really cool. They did the same thing we did. They did both shows. So it's nice to see some East Coast people on the Midwest, and I'd like to see even more maybe next year or something like that. You know,
and that's cool, man. Like anybody, like chicks that age, because they're like 21 and 24, I think.
And still like wrestling.
That's like awesome that they go to all the shows that they go to and experience at that time in their life. It's a cool deal. I wish I was 21 again, man, you know, and had, when I was 21, I had ECW and nothing else. And ECW was awesome. I wish there was like all this other great wrestling I could have went to at 21 years old, 24 years old, you know. Shit, I'm starting to age myself because I think I started hitting
the
indies. He's like around mid-20s, man.
Dennis Caruso wasn't running around the...
He was, but I didn't go there. I was a Paul Heyman guy, you know. I was dumb like that. Like, we can't go to Corluzzo's shows. We're fucking ECW fans. Well, you know, Corluzzo's one of them fucking guys. He was always a clown. So, like, I never wanted to support him anyway, you know.
Oh, and I want to mention, too, real quick, on the way out there, we... I was driving through Indiana and stuff like that. We stopped at a Hardee's. And I want to give just my 2 cents and say that Five Guys burgers are much better than Hardee's Carl Jr.'s. So everyone wants to talk about burgers, you know, like that fast food, you know, kind of that burger, that stuff like that. I think Five Guys kicks Hardee's ass. But back to the wrestling. What do you think? What did you think about that?
I think it was awesome that Uncle Mike left the present at the Berwyn Eagles Club, a fucking Genesee beer can.
Yeah,
the dude. Awesome, man. And we even got to meet up with Zero Gravity, man. Awesome dude.
Yeah.
A great young tag team, man.
I can't say enough about those guys, too.
Fucking check them guys out. They deserve to be booked all over the place, man.
They are so awesome. And, like, I was even telling them, too, like, and I didn't mean any disrespect, but, and I don't think they took it, but they were always good. But, like, you could just tell, like, in the past couple months, they really started, like, hitting everything perfectly.
Yeah.
Just really coming together and, like, just really coming off as, like, just a really great tag team. They're always a very good tag team. Now I would say they're a great tag team. And I think they're a team I mean, to tell you the list of guys I want to see booked, it would be a mile long. And, you know, you'd add them on it, too. But I think they're among the people that would be on the top of that list, I think. You know, definitely, definitely.
Definitely, man. You can see how much smoother they've gotten this year. And,
yeah.
And all the work they do, like, around the Illinois area, man, is helping them out. And we're going to get them on the show next month. Help give them some exposure, man. Fun tag
team.
Yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun.
So
they really kicked it in full gear to, I don't know the name of the show, but the show that started off with Monster Mafia against them, was like, I mean, I always loved Zero Gravity, but watching that match was like, they're tearing this fucking house down, you know? Fuck.
Yeah, so before we actually get to that, though, there was a dark match that I want to talk about because, like, I see that a lot of results online haven't mentioned it. And there was a lot of good guys in there that I really liked and I'm happy to see get shot.
Yeah.
With AAW in Chicago, there was, like, JoJo Bravo was in the match. Ty Colton, Johnny Wave in Canada, was in the match.
Kyle O'Reilly's guy.
Darren Dean, one of the students.
Alex Castle. JoJo Bravo.
Bolt Brady.
Yeah, Bolt Brady. Brady Boone. Brady Boone was on the match. Brady Boone is dead.
Yeah. Bolt Brady, Alex Castle.
Some chick with a nice ass.
And, yeah, some chick that the crowd was going nuts for. With some junk in the trunk.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of the kid that I was talking to during the Steen and Pretty Boy. it pisses me off because I wish I could remember his name. I can't remember his name. Nice kid.
We'll get it, and you'll mention on the show later.
Yeah. Nice kids.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of these guys, I think at the very least, should at least get their names out there, you know, in terms of who they
definitely are.
So that's why I want to make sure we'll get everybody covered, I guess, if not, you know, on this show, I guess, when we record the next segment or something like that. Because everybody looked good. And just real quick, just to give my 2 cents before you do time, it's they announced the match. It's an 8-man match with 10-minute time limit. So you're not really going to get a lot in that, you know, in that time, because it's not a lot of time. But everybody had their thing, and I think it was just a pre-show match just to get the crowd going. So best of luck to all these guys in the years to come.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the drawbacks of, like, a multi-man match like this with a real short time. And it doesn't really give the opportunity for anyone to get the breakout and really
get
over.
There's just so many guys, and it's just hard, you know?
And that was certainly the case here, you know, when you just got guys flying all over the place and nobody knows who most of them are in the crowd. But it was cool to see the guys get a chance, and hopefully all these dudes will get more opportunities, you know, because a lot of them are pretty fucking good and deserve it. And I don't even remember. Do you remember who won the match even?
Babyface team won.
I think Alex Castle. Yeah, I was gonna say Alex Castle's team. I think it was.
Yeah, doesn't really matter.
The good guys.
I don't think anyone's ever gonna see it because I don't think they recorded.
Yeah, they're dark. It's a dark match. It almost didn't happen except for here on the Uncle Mike and Tom show. It has 300 fucking people in the building. But anyway. Now, then they opened the show with the semifinals of the Allegiance Tag Team Tournament, as right off the bat, we had Ethan Page and Ricochet against Zero Gravity in the opener. And
would have been Josh Alexander. By the way, just, yes. I don't know if he's listening, but Josh Alexander, you were definitely missing.
Yeah, definitely get well, buddy. But Ricochet, man.
Yeah,
talk about
say, but you got Ricochet,
a hell of a replacement to, like, at least feel like you get your money's worth. Ricochet's one of them guys, man. If we followed him from when he started, a small little tiny flippity dude from Kentucky to where he is now, it's just fucking amazing, you know? He's in such great shape. He's so smooth. He's got such a great look. Like, this kid's money.
Yeah. Even the Helios ears.
Yeah, under the mask, and Quackenbush, right?
I will say this, too. Ricochet has on his tights, you know, his catchphrase, the future of play. And I'm thinking, the future is now, and not to steal what his old Chikara group name was, but, like, he is, right now, he is the present, I think. Ricochet, when you see him live, too, like AR Fox, he's a guy, when you see him live and you see his aerial moves and stuff like that, you know, you gotta see him live and just see a human being do what he does, you know, it's... Holy shit, is that like a flip truck back there?
Oh, we just passed a flip truck on the road.
Holy shit.
But yeah, Ricochet's major league talent, man, you know? Like, I know he works for Dragon Gate Japan, and that's cool, but, I mean, they don't pay the best. You know, whether it's New Japan or whether it's WWE or fuck TNA, this is the guy who deserves to be on national television. Maybe AAA if this really catches on and breaks out on the Del Rey Network, you know?
I hope so.
Because he's like a major league talent that if Vince passes on because of size, then fuck it. He deserves to be making good money somewhere.
What he doesn't
fantastic.
Have in size, he more than makes up for. He has charisma. He has, like, that presence about him. He has, like, that aura that, like, when he walks around, you see, like, a star. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a guy that, like, knows how to present himself as a star. And I think, his build... You know, he's ripped, you know, the abs and everything, he's just ripped. He does just his high flying, he even does like the people's moonsault that I think is gonna get over huge once he does that more. You know, that was really cool.
Well, that could just be a one off shot because they were imitating the domination.
I would hope that would be a thing where he does that a lot because I like that spot. Yeah, I like that spot.
I thought that was cool.
Something different.
Totally. So this opener was fucking bonkers, man. It, like, right out the shoot, they just, like, tore that house down.
Yeah.
And they had all kinds of great near falls and false finishes. And at the end of the day, Ethan Page and Ricochet end up advancing to the finals.
Yeah, Zero Gravity, like we said, are great, and they look great here, so.
Yeah, Zero Gravity looked really great.
Good match, good opener.
Ethan Page, man, looks better and better every month, man. Another guy that's going to be a really major league talent. Good stuff. Awesome opener. One of the best matches of the weekend.
Yeah.
So then we had the other Allegiance tag team semifinal, as it was Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs taking on the Irish Airborne of Jake and Dave Crist. And this has the backstory of Silas Young and the Irish Airborne used to be like in a stable and partners, but they no longer are. And Jimmy Jacobs and Silas are teaming together in this tournament because they win. They each get matches of their choosing, and Silas wants Eddie Kingston, and Jimmy Jacobs wants the world title. So he believes he can chest Silas Young because Silas really wants Eddie Kingston, so he'll put his friendship with the Irish Airborne aside, and that's exactly what happened. Although they did tease times during the match where it looked like he might get together with the Irish Airborne, but obviously they didn't. And they had another really great fucking match, 2-for-2 right out of the gate. And Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs won the bout to advance to the finals against Ethan Page and Ricochet.
Yeah, mentioned Jimmy Jacobs after the match had a concussion, or did he not, who knows, but they were playing that up big time after the match, where Jimmy was really taking his time getting in the bag. They even did like one of the promo on the AIW Tron, and Jimmy was still down. I think they even hit Heather Patera's music or something like that, and Jimmy was still down, so they had to stop that. Kind of get over the fact that, you know, hey, something's wrong with Jimmy here, so, you know, something's wrong, and who knows if we'll be back out for the final.
Yeah, and that's, you know, good stuff.
Good story to lead to the final.
Exactly. Exactly. Really good stuff. So then, Truth Martini introduced his latest managerial protege, and it was Heather Patera. And she took on Heidi Lovelace, who has the new name of
the punk, like,
punk rock,
like the punk, oh my god,
ragdoll?
Yeah, the punk rock ragdoll.
Got that,
like that,
punk rock ragdoll. And had a fun match. It was good. You know, like, these two have had a long running feud, and this was fine.
And Heidi got the big win here, so.
Yep.
That spot where Truth took his boot off and went to swing, and he lost his boot. Was hysterical. That was excellent.
Big fans of Truth Martini here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. Post-match, I think, is the story here, is Knight Wagner ran in with Truth Martini, and they all started beating down on Heather Patera and Heidi Lovelace. Yeah. And then Tony Reakin and Mischief ran out, making it 3-on-3. And it seems like they're either setting up some kind of tag match or six-man,
yeah,
or possibly Heather Patera, Knight Wagner, and Truth Martini against Tony Reakin and Mischief and Heidi Lovelace. Good stuff for the women. Then we had, it was originally scheduled to be Kyle O'Reilly versus Prince Ali. And I've heard a couple of reasons of Prince Ali not being there, so I'm not going to speculate. But to say he wasn't there, so they changed it to Kyle O'Reilly against Lewis Linden in a one-on-one match. And I liked this match a lot. I thought they worked really well together. And for something that wasn't planned in advance and got put together at the last second, I thought they went out there. And I thought it was a good weekend for Lewis Linden, having two solid matches.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
But unfortunately, he didn't win, as Kyle O'Reilly did defeat him via submission.
Well, this was a better Lewis Linden match than the night before, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I liked this better than the Fontaine. Fontaine match was different. Then this match, I don't even like to, you know, compare them, because that had some more comedy-based stuff, and where this was more flat-out, let's go out and have a, you know, kick-ass match.
Yeah, this was
match,
really good. And Kyle O'Reilly is awesome, and he looked great here.
Oh, yeah.
As he has been for a while now.
Kyle O'Reilly is one of my favorite guys on the indies right now. He's so goddamn good, you know. And with Davey Richards apparently going to be going to WWE for a while, Kyle O'Reilly could take his spot as one of the top guys in the business on the NBC right now, you know? And he got the victory here. Then we had Keith Walker taking on Seaman and Moondog Bernard in a handicap match. And the story here is Seaman and the Moondog are apparently in a dark match every show at AAW at Berwyn. And when the dark match was only that 8-man tag and they weren't included, I thought, wow, that was weird. And then they were told they were going to be on the main show. Unfortunately, they ended up taking on Keith Walker in a handicap match. And Keith Walker in person is this goddamn massive, man.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt. And Keith that Walker ended up squashing both of them. And just... Keith Walker's incredible to look at. I love how they just use him to squash guys like that. Works really good to get Keith over as a monster. And he wants a rematch with Michael Elgin. So that should be something when they get back together. Then we had Heritage title match as ACH defended against Money Matt Cage. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. I would have rathered ACH win. Nothing against Matt Cage, but I think he's still got a lot of years left. Or not a lot of years. Just, I don't know. I wouldn't just say I would have gave him the Heritage title right away. But, I don't know. Good match.
Mike, you think you got the belt a little too quick?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's kind of early in the run. I like Money Matt Cage a lot. I think he's going to be a big-time player in a couple years. But he's still young and he's still learning, and you see it at times where like he doesn't really work the crowd really well. But for a young guy, man, I think he's got lots of potential and he's got a really big time look to him, and it's gonna be really good. And AAW pulled the trigger, made him the new AAW Heritage Champion, and like defeating ACH for the title, man. What'd you think, Uncle Mike?
Real good. I like this match a real lot. Cage is good. I don't know if I would have put the belt on this quick, but whatever. ACH, obviously, always amazing, you know, but I agree with you. Cage is good, but he's going to be a real, real big star in the near future.
Yeah.
He just needs a little more seasoning.
I think him and Christian Rose both, who were former tag team partners in Team Ambition, I think are kind of in the same boat, where both guys are on the brink of having really big breakout years, and they're just like, they're still in the learning stages, you know. But that's the great thing about being young, having this much potential at this point in our careers, man. It's just like sky's the limit for both of them. But so in this match, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought they had a really good match, a lot of near falls and whatnot. And in the end, shocking, surprising finish as Matt Cage is your new Heritage Champion in AAW. Surprise, really?
Yeah.
We get the big. I think this is more them going to be elevating ACH up the ladder to probably main events for the title. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen here, you know? And so for an undercard belt, this will give a good spot for Money Matt Cage to get it, be in. As Danny Daniels is good at getting young guys in spots to excel. In AAW. So I trust they know what they're doing.
We'll see in 6 months.
Right? Exactly. Don't have to take my opinion for it. We'll find out in 6 months where everybody's at and what's going on. So then next was intermission, correct?
Yes.
We had intermission, which I do not like the Berwyn Eagles Club's policy and no re-entry, which really kind of sucks for smokers, you know? They have to be in the building that long without a cigarette. That's got to be torture for you nicotine addicts, man. I feel your pain. Too bad I don't smoke, but that's all good. So, came back from intermission, and it was Marcus Crane, Dan Lawrence, and Knight Wagner taking on Tony Rican, Marion Fontaine, and Mischief. And this was your typical after your intermission match. It was short. Everybody got their stuff in. And Marcus Crane, Dan Lawrence, and Knight Wagner won the match after Heather Patera interfered.
Yeah, this was like coming right after the intermission wasn't too long because really, like, I had just made my way over to the bar. Like we were talking about how long it took to get everybody. So I just made my way out of the bar and just kind of came back, and it was already restarting. So, I mean, it wasn't too long. And it's kind of like to get people back in their seats, too, because I think the crowd was still following as this match was going on. But I really like Dan Lawrence, and I really like Marcus Crane. And I like Marcus Crane with Shane Hollister, but I like this thing that they're doing now with him and Dan Lawrence, too. So So, you know, we'll see how that goes, I think. But
so then after the post-match, it appeared all the heels were going to attack Heidi Lovelace. When Ryan Baz came out to save the day and hit Dan Lawrence with the Baz drivers, everybody else scattered and took off. And he saved his tag partner from the Allegiance Tag Tournament, Heidi Lovelace. So then after that...
Wasn't it Angelus Lane?
Yeah, that was coming up next.
Oh, okay.
But Ryan Baz, man, I love Ryan Baz because, like, they book him so perfect. He's not the type of guy that's going to go out there and have these five-star matches, none. But he's, like, been around the area forever, and they book him like a monster, and the crowd reacts to him like a monster, and it's perfect, man.
Yeah.
Perfect spots for him.
Ryan Baz and Keith Walker is one of my favorite matches from this year. From
right?
Did you cringe when you watched that match?
Oh, yeah.
So next up, they had an interesting angle where Angelus Lane came out and was interviewed.
She bought some time.
She bought some time on the show, she said, to talk about how she's still recovering from post-concussion syndrome and that she'd be back really soon. But before she can finish, Christian Rose came out and attacked her, man. It was awesome. He got in the ring and jarred with her a little bit, jawed with her back and forth, and then just fucking attacked her. He kicked her right in the head, right? Coming off the concussion, kicked her right in the head. And when that happened, man, Merrick Brave hit the ring. And they started arguing and brawling. They were pulled apart. And when they were pulled apart, man, they agreed. Merrick Brave challenged Rose to a loser leaves Berwyn match. And it was agreed to, and the brawl was on. And this was another wild brawl in what has been a series of wild brawls between these two. And at the end of this match, man, Merrick Brave hit Christian Rose with a chair shot that was like Godfather chair shot.
Oh, my
man.
God.
I hope Christian Rose
this
didn't
one of the
get
top
a concussion.
Five, this was one of, like, one of the top five craziest chair shots I've seen live, probably.
That
this
motherfucker
was
loud, man, like, as you can believe.
This is like Mick Foley and The Rock at the Royal Rumble or something. It was, like, that crazy. It was nuts. And it made a noise where everybody just cringed. Like, you just see, like, the reaction of people just in horror. Like, wow.
Like, I always say, like, I could see, like, the ECW influence in Danny Daniels booking. And you can see it here. Like, I think, like, the Ryan Baz kind of almost like a 911.
Yeah.
Where he just has the spots. And this is kind of almost remind me of Tommy Dreamer and Raven, like, the chair shot heard around the world. That, like, even though I'm sure it wasn't booked to be the chair shot heard around the world, the fucking shot was vicious and brutal. And, unfortunately, for my fandom, Merrick Brave won, and that means Christian Rose is gone from Berwyn.
I'm shocked I didn't break down and cry right on the spot.
Yeah, Uncle Mike was devastated.
I was.
Yeah, because we're all big fans of Christian Rose, we're seeing earlier. I think the kid's got huge, huge potential. And hopefully this is just step one of a new storyline they're doing.
Well, first off, he was banned from Berwyn, I think. Not really necessarily Marionette Park or wherever
that's
the hell
right,
else
that's
there
right.
was. So keep that in mind.
And he already started something with Angelus Lane.
Very true.
It's got to be full. You got to fall back on that, too.
So an angle like this, maybe he's just going to be missing a couple of Berwyn dates, so they did this to cover for why he's not there. It could be as simple as that. Or maybe they have something more long-term in mind, but I'm sure, obviously, he was setting up the angle in Angelus Lane that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But they had a great wild brawl, and all three of their matches have been
crazy.
Pretty intense, man. Merrick Bray, for not wrestling in years, I gave him credit coming back and doing these matches.
He looked great.
Yeah. Better than when he left.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Busy, like I said to you, I said, man, for a guy that's not wrestled, kept up on his, you know, kept up in shape and looked good. Marinelli did back then when he was constantly working, you know?
Yeah. So then we had the Allegiance Tournament final match, and it was announced that Jimmy Jacobs had suffered a concussion and could not compete in the finals, and that Silas Young will be rewarded the opportunity to choose anybody in the locker room his choice to be his partner in the finals of the tournament. So, Ethan Page and Ricochet came out. Silas Young came out and said that he's got a history of everybody in the locker room, and he can't trust any of them. So he was picking his manager and wife, Val Malone, to be his tag partner in this match. So essentially, he was making it a handicap match, Ethan Page and Ricochet versus Silas Young, because no way in hell he was going to tag his wife into the match, you know?
Yeah.
So this is how they sold the match, and they did the two-on-one beatdown, and then finally, Jimmy Jacobs stumbled out to the ring and got involved in the match, and from there, it just became bonkers and off the hook, as the four of them just tore the house down in Berwyn with all kinds of near falls and crazy hot action. And at the end of the day, Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs win your Legion's Tag Team Tournament and get to choose matches of their choosing. Really great stuff.
Silas pretty much already chose his match. He wants Eddie Kingston in a fight.
Yep, Silas grabbed the mic and said he wants Eddie Kingston in a fight, and said Jimmy can pick his match when he gets better, as they were helping Jimmy out selling the concussion angle. Really great storytelling put on by Jimmy Jacobs and Silas Young, and great booking AAW, man. It doesn't get better than what this promotion does month in and month out that they're booking.
Yeah, this was real, real good, especially like you said, once Jimmy came out, it just wham! Flicked the switch.
Awesome stuff all the way around, man. And thank God Jimmy Jacobs isn't really hurt. I was thinking, man, one nightmare booking. First Josh Alexander goes down, now Jimmy Jacobs is hurt. I was like, oh, Jesus. But it's all good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Like, the selling-wise, I did think he, me personally, you know.
Me too.
I thought he was hurt after that first match. I really did.
So really great stuff. So, like, the Allegiance Tag Tournament ended up being really good, man, because we had a lot of really good tag team matches over the last month of October in AAW. And now in November. So I think that was really successful. And unfortunately, Josh Alexander got hurt, because obviously the rub of being in the finals would have been a really big elevation of Monster Mafia.
Yeah.
And they told a really great story with Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs battling it through a tournament together when they don't really get along or like each other to get the matches they want.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And even with the problems arising of injuries, different stuff, AAW still, bam, home run. You know what I mean? Come back with something right on.
Absolutely. So with that...
You did mention after the match, Ethan Page turned down Ricochet.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I'm hoping that will be a match that happens down the line, because that'll be a lot of fun.
That's right. He hit the rock bottom on Ricochet post-match and left him laying. Ethan Page, man, had a really good weekend, Friday and Saturday. Really good match with Shane Zion, and two great matches here in Berwyn Saturday night. And that brought us to the main event, where it was AAW heavyweight title as Shane Hollister defended against Kevin Steen. Yeah. Why don't you tell him about this? Well, first thing I remember, well, like about 5 minutes left in the match, you look at me, you go, you think Kevin Steen's winning the title? And I was like, fuck no, man.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, Kevin Steen is your new AAW heavyweight champion.
I was into it. Everybody was standing for like the last couple minutes of this match. And when Steen got Shane up with the package pile driver, I'm like mimicking myself, like with the, like doing like the pile driver myself. And then when he hit it, the place popped and got the three count. I jumped up and down with my hands in the air. Like, it was crazy, man. That was such a great moment. That was really, like, a special moment. Steen won the title on his first night in the company. That was part of the story, you know. Pretty much, you know, with Steen winning the title now, it kind of opens up a lot of new, fresh matches. Not, you know, because he's, you know, in the company. Because he's new in the company, but also because... You know, who knows what's next. You know, Jimmy Jacobs, who I wonder if they're going to do, you know, him and Jimmy Jacobs, old scum, you know, partners and stuff like that. So there's a lot he could do, you know, in AAW because, you know, this is, you know, he hasn't been in this promotion before. Even if he works guys that he worked elsewhere.
Yeah.
Better promotions.
Obviously, Eddie Kingston.
In AAW, I think, you know, it'll still be fresh. So I'm looking forward to seeing, him and Kingston would be great.
So, yeah, it sets up for some really good stuff. Like you said, Jimmy Jacobs could now challenge Kevin Steen for the heavyweight title. So that's quite interesting, knowing your history in Ring of Honor. And obviously that means we're going to get a no-holds-barred street fight between Silas Young and Eddie Kingston. So that alone is worth checking out. So AAW setting up some really good stuff. I think the thing with this is a lot of people figured Kevin Steen was just in for one shot. So a lot of smart fans, including myself, didn't think he was going to win the title because he probably wouldn't be back. Surprise, surprise, he won the title and he's going to be back. And it's good stuff for AAW.
Oh, yeah. I went over to the bar for this last match to just drink constantly during this match. And I was like a pig in shit. I couldn't believe it when, you know what I mean? I was like, holy fuck, I can't believe this happened.
Absolutely.
Love.
New AAW champion history was made twice tonight here, yesterday, last night in Berwyn, Illinois. Great, great show. Two thumbs up, man. Had a blast.
A lot of fun.
Amazing place. You got to come see a wrestling show there. It's so worth it. It's like one of the things to put on your bucket list. It's a really small building. It's much smaller than I thought. But really cool, man, and really cool setup, and really professional and cool fucking promotion and the people behind it. I can't say enough about that. Like, people like talk about how many scumbags there is in the business and rip off artists and promoters that are just con men. AAW, man, a lot of really good people. You know, with Jim Lynham and Mike Petrovic and Danny Daniels and Phil Colvin and Derek St. Holmes, and the list goes on and on. So many great fucking people. Dan Lawrence and lots of great people involved. It's a promotion that, if you want to put your money behind the promotion that deserves the money, they definitely are the ones to do it, because they definitely are the best. And I don't want to kiss their ass like, oh, I was just hanging out there yesterday and seeing a great show and this and that. But they do the best mix of great wrestling, great storytelling, great character development. And everybody seems to have a rhyme or reason in the booking, you know?
Yeah.
Really good stuff, and they got such a hot crowd in Berwyn.
Yeah, and they're racking up a roster like you can't fucking believe right now.
Yeah, they're like the best out there at developing a lot of great young talent, man.
Yeah.
They really got their finger on the pulse, it seems like, on who's really making a name for themselves on the indie world, man.
40 miles till Hazleton.
Thank God.
So this has been our trip this weekend, man. And then and afterwards we went out.
Saying, hold on, we're not even started.
Because afterwards,
we gotta mention our boy Mike Robles. We didn't mention him.
We love you.
And how much we love Mike Robles.
Yeah. So we kind of got invited to this secret bar locker room at AAW show and did some drinking. So then we left there and went to the Squared Circle. And
you like devoured that burger, man.
Yeah,
your,
man.
Your drunk ass was.
I don't know.
You were so fucking far gone. Both of you were so fucking far gone. I don't even know if you even realized what you were eating.
I don't remember what I ordered. It was a hamburger stuff. They have like these stuffed burgers, and it was just fantastic. It was like the greatest hamburger I ever had in my life, man. But I was surprised, like John Thorne told me it would be really small, the Square Circle, but
yeah,
definitely.
A lot bigger.
But definitely a cool place to check out, man. They had AAW playing on all the TVs in the place, and really cool little atmosphere and a cool place. It was cool to be in Chicago. We decided we were going to go to Wrigley Field drunk at 3 in the morning. So from there, though, first, our boy Mike Robles, the Smart Mark Video, is drinking at a bar just a mile away.
I'm checking my Twitter, and I see Mike Robles tweeted something about being at a bar. So he had the address put in. I typed it in the maps. It was only a mile away, so I figured, oh, let's go there, and we went there.
And that was interesting.
Turned out to be quite the interesting venue.
A punk bar in downtown Chicago somewhere, I guess it wasn't really downtown, but it was in Chicago. And a very interesting scene in there with a bar downstairs and a dance club upstairs, and very unique individuals really hanging out here. But it was cool to hang out with Mike Robles. Like, fuck it, we're in Chicago, how often we get to hang out with Robles? So we hung out with him for a half hour. Really good dude, man. He's responsible for making all this Midwest Smart Mark Video stuff happen.
He's just a great guy, yeah.
And a really great dude on top of that. And we go to leave, and we walk out, and our car's gone, man. Our rental car is gone.
Let me turn around this corner. This is probably one of the top 10 most scariest moments of my life, because we rented this car, and this car is in my name. So, and you don't care. For some reason, Tom Ritchie, he doesn't give a shit.
But I don't get all worked up like you. I figured immediately what happened, you know?
Yeah, well, what happened was my fucking balls dropped because I don't see the card here. The first thing I think, well, you thought the logical thing was it was towed. I think it was stolen, even though I had the keys in my pocket.
We weren't there long enough for someone to steal one of these fucking cars with this electric fucking ignition with no fucking keys and all this nonsense, you know? Like it would have probably taken them longer to break into this and get it all done. I figured it got towed. But the thing is, there was, like, no sign. Then there's this one sign all curled up like a piece of paper. We uncurl it, and you can read nothing on the sign except this phone number in the corner. So, of course, you call that phone number. Yeah, we got your car.
And it's 2:30 in the morning, by the way. I should also specify.
Yeah, there's this bar. It was open till 5 a.m. We're at with Robles, man.
So right now, I'm just thinking, what the hell? Luckily, it was only like a mile away, and Robles was very gracious enough to drive us there. And we go there, and $198 later, we got our car back. And I swear to God, they probably just had to park it in order, like, by the time I had called about it and asked it, because, like I said, it wasn't, we were there at this bar for only, like, a half hour tops. Like, I know, like, Uncle Mike went in there, the bartender wouldn't let Uncle Mike in for a while because he was a little hammered, but it's all good. So we had a good time, I think. There were bras on the ceiling. Who knew what the hell was going on? There was crazy music, dark lighting, goth girls everywhere. There was a girl drinking at the bar wearing a bra. Everything was going on. So we got outside,
and the car
was gone. And, like I said, like, I mean, I can't help but just to get, like, I didn't panic. I wasn't screaming or crying, but, like, holy crap, was that a moment? Like, I just, like, I, like, it was, wow. Like, I just couldn't, like, think for straight for a second. I was just so, like,
bummed out.
I was just so, like, just shocked by what had happened. But
I think you were all bummed out because it's in your neighbor. Like, me and Mike are two old bucks, so we've been there and seen it all. We've done it before, you know?
It's already happened to
you. Right? We already had this shit happen where cars have been towed before. I mean, apparently this is a regular deal in this area of Chicago. Yeah. Man, when we went to the place where they towed the car, there was tons of cars there that just got towed. It was like a new car, a lot of cars getting towed in and out of there.
Well, luckily, I haven't had my car towed yet, and so that's a good thing, I would say.
Here's the deal in 2013. If you have a fucking iPhone, you're never really fucked. Unless your battery's dead, then you're fucked. You know, but otherwise, as long as you have an iPhone, you're never truly fucked, man. In 2013, you know?
Yeah. So we go and pick up the car, and by this point,
by the time that guy done, no Wrigley
Field.
I'm like,
give me the goddamn keys, we're going home. We're not going to Wrigley Field.
But we didn't drive past U.S. Singler Field on the way. So, like, we passed a retarded stepchild in Chicago.
Yeah, right? Even though they won a title more recently, right?
Yeah. So that will have to be next
Buckhorn.
Thanksgiving, Wrigley Field. Ha! But yeah, so what quite a weekend it was.
Yeah, we didn't go to the Winslow house. I wanted to go there. You know what that is, from Family Matters. It's a show.
Family Matters, man. These young people, I tell you.
But no, man, we were in such, honest to God, though, we were in such a good mood. We were going to the show in AAW. Even then, like, even hanging with Robles, it's like, I mean, you know what, whatever, it's only money. Because we're going to the show, we're playing songs from all the different Chicago, we're playing a little Earth, Wind, and Fire, we're playing a little Smashing Pumpkins, even going to an AAW show, so I know that's kind of sacrilege, but anyway, we're just playing a bunch of different Chicago band songs. We were in a great mood all day. We were really in a great mood all weekend because, like I said, you know, I love going to Cleveland, and I'll even say this now, too, I like Cleveland more than Chicago. I had more fun in Cleveland than Chicago. I'll just say this, too. I mean, just because of the track, like, drivers, and I think more so. You know what I mean?
The drivers.
The people in both cities were fine, but the drivers, I think, were a lot better in Cleveland than Chicago. And
next year, I'm flying the fuck home.
Yeah, we're flying.
How about that? By the time I finish this podcast, I'll be sitting in the fucking airport in Wilkes-Barre.
Remember that, man.
That's the new plane.
No podcasting in the plane.
Yeah.
No podcasting in the plane, man.
So, yeah, great weekend, man. Friday and Saturday, man. Both AIW and AAW were gracious hosts. Can't say enough good stuff about both promotions. So happy that both had huge crowds and had really good shows, and both worth checking out, man. We even had some Chicago pizza.
Yeah.
Overrated, if you ask me.
What did you get, Uncle Mike?
I got an Italian hoagie.
That reminds me, though, in Cleveland Friday night, we got Harry Buffalo's.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
wow, that was some of the best chicken tenders ever have eaten.
And some hot, and the hot wait staff, too.
Oh, yeah, that girl that was waitress for us. Oh, my mama mia. What was that saying? Oh, baby doll. Jesus.
I'm trying to think of like other little things too. Saturday morning, you guys are all still sleeping, so I go over. Like our hotel in Cleveland was across the street from a mall, so I just walked around there, and it was like big, like you know, like shopping. And there was like, yeah, and I was gonna say it was just weird walking into like a Champs and walking to, like these sports stores and just seeing like Cleveland Brown jerseys all over the place. You don't really see that obviously when you go to Pennsylvania. I even think, like, you know, the people in Cleveland probably don't even want to have Cleveland Brown jerseys hanging up on their, you know, the front of the store. But, like I said, I can't think of it. And we were very blessed. The weather was great. You know, the traffic going out both places was really good. No complaints at all, man, except for the whole tow truck incident, you know. But, the way life is, man, things could always be worse, you know, with health and, you know, things that go on in your life and stuff like that. So if you get your truck, you know, your car towed, and that's the worst thing that happens to you, then you're pretty fucking lucky, I guess. Yeah. You know? So, you know, look on the bright side that way. And now I was going to say, I've been driving for the past 6 hours now, too. This is kind of really weird. So we're all just sitting here now.
Two things, man. 2 years in a row, no Jim Lynham and no Dave Prazak. So both these gentlemen are on high alert. When we come next time, you both better get your asses there. We're coming to your house.
I just want to talk about old school, like, PCW with Prazak or something like that, you know?
Right? Fuck yeah, man. Dave Prazak's awesome, man. He almost reminds me of, like, a brother from another mother. Because, like, we grew up in the same era of wrestling with the same love for wrestling. Through the same time period, you know? So it's like it's awesome to sit down and talk to Dave. When we had him on earlier this year, was great. But yeah, speaking of podcasts, we're gonna have Zero Gravity on next month. We're gonna get Phil Colvin on coming up in the next few weeks, and lots of good stuff coming up right here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
Yeah.
And I think this is gonna do it for our Cleveland, Chicago Thanksgiving excursion.
Yeah, real like just saying, obviously we've been tagging. I've been on the show for the past couple weeks. You know, 2CW, the people at 2CW if they're listening to this, the people at ISW if they're listening to this, you know, you guys were just as great too. I mean, I think, you know, we went to 4 shows this month, and they were all just a lot of fun and a lot of great people we get to meet at these things. You know, you talk on Twitter, a lot of people like to type to each other and have their internet buddies. I like meeting people in real life and talking it too, and I think we did just that, you know, these past couple weeks, so it was a lot of fun, man, a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was quite... The November to Remember on the Independence.
The November to Remember. It was a regret you'll never forget.
Good stuff. It's been a fun month of great wrestling. And we thank you for being on every week, Outlaw.
Yeah, right?
Thank you, Michael.
I know. Now that Charlie Haas is out of the business, I think indie wrestling needs a new outlaw, and I'm not a wrestler, but...
I think one of my highlights of the weekend was when Phil Colvin came up to us and was like, "Where's the outlaw at?" That was great.
That's
some stuff, man. With that, we're going to end it right here on this note, I think. Cause
did
we
you watch Halloween
Happy
93?
No, not yet. No. But we mentioned that about Meltzer giving a 4-3 Ford stars, man.
Rewatch it,
it's all good. So, you know, it's different times, different part times in the business. You know?
I guess.
And unless you were there living through it to look at it in
2013. I'll say this, man. There's a lot of matches from 1993 I still really like. So.
Yeah. Different stuff holds up better than other stuff. Yeah. Like, you go back and watch a lot of ECW stuff, and it doesn't hold up well at all, you know? It is what it is.
I'll tell you, all that Tajiri stuff from ECW still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching the TNN shows, rewatching them slowly, and, oh, my God, Tajiri is so goddamn great.
Absolutely.
Someone book him.
Money
yeah. Yeah, just don't order tights off Easy Money. Apparently, they don't come these days, according to Ethan Page. But all right, with that note, I think he has a tights business where he makes.
Jason Jett.
Yeah, I don't really see his name around, so I'm assuming he just does the tights.
Wow.
Yeah. With that, we're done. We'll send you back to regular programming.
I was going to say, thank you guys for having me on. I guess I won't be on again until Extreme Rising, the end of the year. Although I might be on the show earlier than that because I think we're going to be rerunning a special interview.
Yeah, that's right. You'll be a part of that.
So,
that's right. Yeah.
So you'll get your Outlaw fixed that way.
Very true.
Until
man.
Then, this is the Outlaw signing off, Cowboy.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think with that, we'll call it a day with this interview. segment of the show.
We want to thank Mike Falcone and Dirty Bucks Belmar for being on the show this week, man. And
and Robles.
Want to thank Robles?
yeah, he got us out of a pickle.
That he did, yeah. Thank Mike Robles for giving us a ride to the tow lot to pick up our vehicle at 3 o'clock in the morning. But AAW and AIW weren't the only two things going on this weekend. There was a couple other shows. So let's run down what went down this weekend. We'll start off with WrestleCade. WrestleCade was on High Spots TV iPay-per-view this past Saturday from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And here is the results. In the dark match, Gunner defeated Robbie E. On the main show on iPay-per-view for the PWX title five-way elimination match, Collab Conley successfully defended his title, defeating Hurricane Helms, Steve Corino, Adam Page, and Sanjay Dutt in a five-way elimination match, last eliminating Adam Page via submission to retain his title. In a Lumberjills match, it was Maria Canales defeating Jillian Hall.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Right? Jim Duggan defeated Daivari. In a tag team gauntlet match, Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander defeated the Rock and Roll Express, the Headbangers, Manny Fernandez and George South.
Shit.
Buff Bagwell and Rick Steiner, the Powers of Pain, and Demolition. And finally, the Bravado Brothers. To win the tag team gauntlet match. That must have been something to see.
Oh, yeah.
In an I Quit match, Tommy Dreamer defeated C.W. Anderson. In a ladder match for the WrestleCade title, Matt Hardy defeated Carlito to win the title. And that was WrestleCade this past Saturday in Winston-Salem on High Spots TV. And I'm sure it's still there and available for VOD viewing. And then Sunday afternoon, Alpha One Wrestling returned to Hamilton, Ontario, Canada for Watch the Thrones 2. And here's what went down. It was Colin Delaney defeated RJ City and John Greed in a three-way.
Cool.
It was Eric Carney defeating Trent Barrett and Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander came out during the match and inserted himself, so I guess that means his injured back is healing. Ethan Page defeated Johnny Gargano, the successor retained his Alpha Male title. Joey Kings defeated Ben Ortmans. It was Cheech and Steve Brown end up fighting to a draw in a four-way with also Scotty O'Shea and Johnny Wave.
Anyway.
Cheech and Steve Brown both become number one contenders for the Alpha Male title. It was Josh Rogan and Shane Sabre defeating Psycho Mike Rollins and Justin Sane. And Alex Vega defeated Brent Banks to become the new Zero Gravity Champion. And that was Watch the Throne 2 from Alpha One Wrestling. It'll be available in Smart Mark Video soon. And they announced they will return for their first show of 2016 on March 16th. With The Killing Joke, with a 4 p.m. bell time. Tickets are $15. And that was Alpha One. And that's what went down this weekend, man, with what we seen. That was your Thanksgiving weekend.
Look at that main event. Alex Vega versus Brent Banks.
And Ethan Page.
I cannot wait to see the show. You know what I mean?
Delaney,
Greed, Yeah. RJ City? Yeah, that's going to be real good.
Yeah, Alpha One shows, man.
But I don't know
they're
that,
fun.
I don't know that Eric Carney or Carney.
No.
I never heard of him.
I think he's the one that wrestled as Eazy-E, I believe.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think. The Killing Joke. I'm not positive.
Yeah. But
that is...
We'll find out.
What happened this past weekend to end out the November to remember that we were calling the Indie Month. But we're going to keep on rolling on right into December as this weekend... A lot more big stuff going on. A much busier weekend than last weekend.
Yeah.
We'll start with Full Impact Pro as they return this Friday and Saturday with live eye pay-per-views on WWN Live.
Excellent.
And first we'll start with the Friday night show.
Real good.
As Friday night FIP... presents
from Ybor City
in full force. Actually, no. In full force, Friday nights from Orlando, the downtown recreation complex, with an 8 p.m. bell time.
That's where Chikara ran.
And lined up for this Friday night on iPay-Per-View at 8 p.m., Roderick Strong makes his FIP return to take on Rich Swann.
Wow.
FIP World Heavyweight Championship. Trent Barreta defends against Lindsay Dorado.
Another good one.
It'll be the FIP Florida Heritage title on the line with champion Grant Akuma defends against Johnny Vandal.
That'll be good.
Shine Showcase match. One-on-one, Mia Yim takes on Jessica Havoc. That should be fantastic.
Yeah.
In six-man
down
action.
Matches.
Right? Six-man action. Pinky Sanchez and Dos Bendejos. Take on Eddie Graves, Teddy Stigma, and Jesus De Leon.
Yeah, that'll be great.
With your boy, Sasso Rivera, in their corner. It'll be the Washington Bullets taking on Andrew Everett and Collab Conley.
Who are the Washington Bullets?
We seen them on, was it the last FIP show? But I forgot off the top of my head who the team is. But they were on the last show. Earl Cooter.
Yes.
Takes on Maxwell Chicago.
Yes.
David Starr will be in Florida in Orlando taking on Josh Hess.
Real good.
Plus more featuring the FIP Tag Team Champions, the Bravado Brothers. That's all this Friday night. FIP, iPay-Per-View. If you order right now, it's $9.99. Sounds like a good lineup.
Yes, it does.
And then Saturday... they'll be back on iPay-Per-View with a 7 p.m. bell time, as they'll be in Ybor City at the Orpheum, WWN Live's home base, as they will present FIP Violence is the Answer 2013.
The home of iPay-Per-View that works.
Right? It's the one place where their iPay-Per-Views always work.
It's every time from there.
In the main event, FIP World Tag Team titles are on the line. Anything goes. Ybor City Street Fight. It's Lance and Harlem Bravado. They'll be defending the tag titles against the former champions, Dos Bendejos. With Leva Bates and Mia Yim.
Baby doll.
One-on-one, listen to this match. Roderick Strong will take on Andrew Everett, making his FIP debut.
Listen to this one. Coming.
It'll be Rich Swann one-on-one with Collab Conley.
Real good.
Plus, also on the show, you will see Lindsay Dorado, Pinky Sanchez, Maxwell Chicago, Jessica Havoc, David Starr, Leva Bates, Mia Yim, Eddie Graves, Teddy Stigma, Jesus De Leon, Mr. St. Laurent, and we already said Andrew Everett in the Washington Bullets. That's FIP this weekend, Friday and Saturday. iPay-Per-View in Ybor City in Orlando, Florida. And if you don't have the money, the cash, or the ability, we'll be doing live results at DTom Richards, my Twitter, on both Friday and Saturday. We'll have live iPay-Per-View results at both FIP shows. So if you can't join in and watch, you can follow me and get the results as they happen.
They'll be good shows.
Yeah, they should be.
Sound pretty good.
I agree.
I'm glad you agree.
I knew you would be.
No, you know what I mean? Compared to the last shows, or the last show.
Right.
You got to fill out a card, you know, and they sound good.
Yeah, the last shows were the worst they put on to date, but the first so many were pretty good, and these lineups look like they'll be a return to the goodness.
Yeah.
But that's not the only thing going on Friday night. As this Friday night, IWA Mid-South returns. As apparently after 6 weeks, Ian Rotten's cancer is now gone, and he's got a full bill of health, and they're back in business. And they return with the big-ass Christmas bash, past, present, and future, this Friday night from the Colgate Gym in Clarksville, Indiana, with a 7:35 bell time. And here's what you're going to see from IWA Mid-South this Friday night. They'll have a six-man fight for your spot ladder match featuring Josh Crane, Kerry Offal, Austin Bradley, Dale Patricks, Trip Cassidy, and Hebrew Hammer Joseph Schwartz.
Do you know any of guys? I mean, I know Trip Cassidy and Dale Patricks. I never even heard
of those
guys.
I know Josh Crane, I know Dale Patricks, and I know Trip Cassidy. That's it, though. And a stipulation to be determined will be Matt Tremont versus Corporal Robinson versus Elkview Adam versus Ox Harley.
Ox Harley?
Yeah,
God,
2013.
I haven't seen that name in forever.
IWA Mid-South return to Chris Hero when Chris Hero goes one-on-one with Trick Davis.
That will be very good.
First blood match, Zombie Princess Jimmy Jacobs goes one-on-one with Cutthroat Reed Bentley.
That'll be real good.
The Psycho Shooter Drake Younger goes one-on-one with Christian Rose, man.
Holy fuck.
In a grudge match, Confederate Chris Hamrick one-on-one against Todd Morton.
There you go.
They've been setting that up on the first two shows. In a Styles Clash, Necro Butcher goes one-on-one with serial killer Jack Thriller.
Ayatollah.
In an indie dream match will be Ricochet one-on-one with Jonathan Grisham. In an 8-man Soul Survivor tag match, it'll be Isaiah, Devin Moore, Shane Mercer, Matt Cage, Simon Says, Brian Skyline, Christian Haim, and Shane Hollister.
Wow.
And in a ladies' three-way, it'll be Randy West versus Thunder Kitty versus Jordan Grace. It's IWA Mid-South this Friday night. Big-ass Christmas bash, man.
Sounds good.
Some really good stuff on there. Ricochet, Grisham.
Mm-hmm.
Drake Younger against Christian Rose.
Christian Rose, my God.
Plus Chris Hero, Trick
Davis. This is going to be friggin' Brent, Bentley, and Jacob.
Yeah, lots of good stuff, man.
It's a stack show. I want to see where, because we did see the Hammer Morton, because that's been a big setup.
Yeah.
So I want to see where that goes, too. Yeah, that's a good card.
So IWA Mid-South looking like a big comeback this Friday night after canceling the TEPI once again.
For the record, right now I am wearing an IWA Mid-South 420 shirt from back in the day.
How about that? You are. Crazy, I tell you. So let's take a look at Saturday. We got the FIP on pay-per-view. We have Dreamwave coming back for their season finale, The Fight Before Christmas, this Saturday night at the Knights of Columbus in LaSalle, Illinois. With a 7 p.m. bell time, and get ready for the lineup. In the main event for the Dreamwave Championship, champion Christian Rose defends against Shane Hollister.
Unbelievable.
One-on-one, Chris Hero takes on Prince Mustafa Ali.
Holy fuck.
For the alternate title, Marche Rocket defends against Reed by God Bentley.
Loaded.
Last man standing, Nick Brubaker versus Matt Money Cage.
Real good.
The Future of Flight Ricochet takes on Chris Castro.
Ricochet.
Zero Gravity go 2-on-2 against Darren Corbin and Eric Cannon, ACDC.
Friggin' loaded.
It'll be Cousin Bobby versus Waylon Beck. And in six-man tag action, it'll be Cousin Dixie, Bucky Collins, and Mason Beck against Gangrel, Luther, and Gangrel's mystery partner. and the Four Corners Elimination for tag team titles, Helter Skelter defending against Sports Entertainment, Foreign Affairs, and Clean and Dirty. That is Dreamwave with a really loaded lineup this Saturday night in LaSalle, Illinois.
That's good. That's a loaded show.
Also this Saturday night, Family Wrestling Entertainment out of New York City returns to iPay-per-view on RF Video this time.
When is this?
This Saturday night.
But that runs against...
This actually starts at 8. Yeah, we kind of have to... I would kind of like to see this show. But we could actually... because the RF Video will have it up the next day. As they'll be doing the FWE Grand Prix Final One Night Tournament December 7th. As they will be at the Elm Corps Center in Corona, New York, with Dark Match 7:30 and the Live Eye pay-per-view starting at 8 o'clock. Get ready for this lineup. In Grand Prix second round matches, it'll be Ted DiBiase Jr. versus Matt Morgan.
Wow.
That's it'll be match. Petey Williams versus John Hennigan.
Ooh, get ready.
And it'll be Brian Kendrick versus Tony Nese. Then they'll, since Tommy Dreamer can't be there, they're going to be having a four-way match to take his spot in the tournament featuring Trent Beretta versus Jorge Santi versus Shane Strickland versus Alex Reynolds.
Wow.
In a match that's only for the live crowd and won't be on the iPay-per-view, it's going to be Eric Young one-on-one versus Colt Cabana.
Oh, that's going to be God.
Yeah, I got to admit, for comedy match purposes, that's
going to be... Oh, but it's not going to be...
On the pay-per-view, no.
Oh,
live crowd exclusive.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. In a number one contenders match for the women's title, it'll be Ivelisse Velez going one-on-one with Angelina Love.
That's good.
Plus, it'll be Team Young Bucks taking on Team Adrenaline Express in an eight-man tag.
Oh.
As Team Adrenaline Express has Joey Ryan, Candice LeRae, and I can't even make out who the other two are. And Team Young Bucks obviously has Young Bucks and two more. In non-tournament action, it'll be Chuck Taylor one-on-one against Sanjay Dutt.
Wow.
And it'll be Christina Von Erie one-on-one with Taylor Hendricks.
That's going to be a good one, too.
That's all this Saturday night in Corona, New York at 8 p.m. Also available on iPay-per-view through RF Video. FWE, man, making a name. They've been doing sold-out shows in all over New York City.
Fuck, man. Somebody bootleg Eric Young versus Colt Cabana.
Right? You say when you care, but that's like a pretty fun comedy.
I know, man. That would be real good, I bet you.
I agree. Also going on this Saturday night, Wrestling Cares returns to West Coast with show number five. The Ultimate Fun Time, hosted by LA's own Fun Time, Shelly Martinez, as they will be back at the Benefit the Wildlife Way Station this Saturday night in Southern California at the American Legion Post 46 in Culver City, California. Listen to this. Race for the Ring semifinals. It'll be the whole shebang, Johnny Gargano versus the Greek god Papa Don.
Wow.
And it'll be Adam Cole one-on-one with Mr. the King of the 450, Steve Anthony. Each semifinal match will have 15-minute time limit and 3-minute sudden death overtime if needed. Plus, the first ever Golden State Tag Team Championship, 4 teams, 3 matches, 1 winner. The Ballard Brothers.
Ballard Brother, I haven't seen that name.
Versus Old School Oliver John and Timothy Thatcher versus Scorpio Sky and Ryan Taylor versus Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov.
God damn.
And a Ladies Beat the Champs series continues. Champion Katarina Lee takes on Tracy Taylor. In Wrestling Care's first ever return match, a technical challenge.
Whoa.
First man to break any rule loses.
First man to break any rule. That's crazy.
Drake Younger versus DJ High.
They got to put on a clinic, huh?
That's this Saturday night. Tickets start at $15. Don't wow. miss it. Wrestling Cares, man. 7
good
p.m.
Show, good show.
Culver City.
I like those Wrestling Cares shows whenever we see the results. From
yeah, we got to start getting some of the DVDs. You know?
Yeah, I know. There's only so much time in the day.
I hear you. Earlier on, we mentioned North Shore Pro Wrestling with Dirty Bucks Belmore. They return with Final Chapter 2013 this Saturday night at the Center Horizon in Metrobus.
What?
That's what it says. Metrobus. In the main event, North Shore Pro Wrestling Championship match. Four-way champion Bucks Belmar defends against Michael Styles, Marco Estrada, and the Masked Man. The NSPW Tag Team Championship is on the line when Champions 3.0 defend against Kicking and Stomping. It'll be TDT taking on Kevin Steen and Frankie the Mobster.
God. Wow. Motherfucker.
It'll be Chris Cruz versus Judas, R.D. Evans versus Pee-wee, and Midian versus...
Pee-wee.
The Dying versus Diana Hall.
That's going to be the old referee Pee-wee, I bet you.
I bet you. Drew Onyx, Urban Miles, and a whole lot more on the Saturday night North Shore Pro Wrestling. If you're up in Canada, go check it out if you're in the area. And wow. Finally...
TDT versus Kevin Steen, Frankie the Monster. Holy fuck.
We move to this Sunday. Wrestling is Cool returns. As they make their Philadelphia debut this Sunday afternoon with Best Served Cold with a 3 p.m. bell time, 1418 South Darien Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
It's named Studio A. That's the name of the place.
Yeah, the building's called Studio A.
Never heard of it.
Seven scintillating matches already announced. We have Tag Team Warfare, the Colony vs. Devastation Corporation. Mr. Touchdown versus Drew Gulak. That should be really good. First time ever, Frightmare versus Frank O'Rourke.
Yes.
That should be really fun. Eric Corvus
fuck, man.
Versus Chuck Taylor. I almost called him Corvus Fear. Plus Jervis Cottonbelly against Jocka.
That'll be weird.
Two more matches to be announced. That's this Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, in South Philadelphia. Wrestling is Cool, making their Philadelphia debut. It'll be interesting to see how they draw on that show.
How big is this place?
I never even heard of it, so I don't know.
Oh, all right.
And finally this weekend, save the best for last, Battle War 15. Battle War returns this Sunday night. It's December 8th, 8 p.m., Montreal, Quebec, Canada. 7 o'clock doors, 8 p.m. bell time, 18 and over only.
Yeah.
They will be crowning the first ever Battle War champion this Sunday night as they have a Battle War Championship scramble match featuring our guest earlier, Dirty Bucks Belmar,
yes.
Speedball Mike Bailey, Player Uno,
wow.
Big Bad Quentin, a.k.a. R.D. Evans, Shane Hawk.
Superstar Shane Hawk.
And Cowboy Giant Tiger. One of these men is going to walk out of this night as the first ever Battle War champion. History will be made.
Yes.
Also, in a tradition of Montreal and in independent wrestling, the Hardcore Holiday Christmas Tree match. It'll be Beef Wellington coming out of retirement, teaming up with Green Phantom against TDT.
They'll go crazy.
That's going to be awesome.
I know, that's going to be real good.
Speaking of awesome...
Yes.
The Rock'n'Roid Express.
Oh, my God.
Get in the ring with 3.0 as this has been brewing for months at Battle War. They're finally going to lock horns this Sunday night.
That's going to be good.
And a special attraction, Leon Saver will be in the house taking on Vanessa Craven.
Wait. What's this? The Mountain?
Vanessa Craven. And in a tag team encounter, the Tank Man will take on Radioactive Wave. It's all this Sunday night, 8 p.m., Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Battle War 15.
Mike Patterson will be there.
And Mike Patterson will be there.
With the Tankman.
This Sunday. If you've never seen Battle War, go to smartmarkvideo.com and check them out. Definitely worth the money. Great shows, man.
Great Canadian wrestling.
And that's what's going on this weekend. And I think we're just about done for this week, man.
That's it, right?
I really can't think of anything we need to talk about. I think we covered it all.
Did we?
Yeah. We'll be back next week with DJ Hyde, man. Yes. Just 48 hours before Cage of Death. DJ's going to join us here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show and talk business, man.
We got to remember to ask him how Wrestling Cares was.
Yes.
And that's what, like,
yeah, we
before
will.
Before we forget, you know what I mean? Because when you get on with him, you know, you never know where you're going to go. Or, and I want to remember to ask him about that. Because break no rules. I can't picture them two not breaking any rules.
I know.
I want to see that match so bad. You know what I mean?
I agree. And with that,
they'll put on a wrestling clinic.
I think we've done enough for one day.
Oh, boy. For one day, there was a span of one, two.
Yeah, we taped this over multiple days. But it's all good. The show's over now. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week with DJ Hyde.
Get ready for Cage of Death.
Support good independent wrestling, man.
Yes.
Next week, we'll talk Cage of Death, final battle, all the good stuff. It's all going down next weekend. This weekend, though, a lot of good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Till next week, that's Uncle Mike.
Yes, yes. Danny Daniels, you the man.
I'm Tom Richards, and hit the fucking music.
I was walking down the street when out the corner of my eye I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looked so all alone, or could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice, and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young singer, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me, and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back, though you know I wish I could. Another ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Not even 15 minutes later, I'm still walking down the street when I saw the shadow of a man creep out of sight. And then he swept up from behind, he put a gun up to my head, he made it clear he wasn't looking for a fight. He said, give me all you got, I want your money, not your life. If you try to make a move, I won't think twice. I told him you could have my cash, but you know I gotta ask, what made you wanna live this kind of life? He said there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back, though you know I wish I could. Oh no, there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Money from the church, he stuffed his bank account with righteous dollar bills. But even still, I can't say much because I know we're all the same. Oh yes, we all seek out to satisfy those thrills. You know there ain't